and it's about global climate change and how cities are getting involved. And there we
seconds.
Have it. Okay, it was great to have you. Thanks, Spencer. stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Mark Knoller, live at the White House. In his address to the nation in 3 hours, President Bush will announce some tangible progress is being made in Iraq, so some 2,200 U.S. Marines will be coming home this month. Further, a brigade of 3,500 Army soldiers will be withdrawn by Christmas. He'll say no U.S. forces will be sent to replace any of them. If conditions on the ground permit, another 4 Army brigades and 2 Marine battalions will come home by mid-July. The president will say the more successful we are in Iraq, the more American troops can return home. But he will ensure that U.S. commanders there have the troops they need to defeat the enemy. Mark Knoller, CBS News, live at the White House.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. Democrats are making clear they don't think the president is changing anything at all with this speech tonight and don't give much credence to the proposal to reduce troops by next summer by the same amount they were increased by this spring. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the president should say how he's going to pay for what she calls this endless war and how he can justify asking men and women in the military to keep risking their lives.
I'm Jim Taylor with more CBS News. The United States can use every available ally in Iraq. There is one less today. Sheikh Sadr, who just recently met with President Bush on his recent trip there, assassinated. Reaction from General David Petraeus?
He was understandably very disappointed, and he considers this a very tragic loss.
Spokesman Colonel Steve Boylan, it is presumed the killing was al-Qaeda-directed. It was just a Category 1 hurricane.
Residents of the Bolivar Peninsula along the Texas coast never thought they'd see a Category 1 hurricane do this much damage.
The back of the post office, a little grocery store. Looks like he ain't going to be selling no gas pretty soon.
In fact, this Crystal Beach resident says he's a little bit mad at the forecasters.
You know, everybody thought it was just going to be like a tropical storm, a lot of rain, 10 inches of rain. Now they tell us it's going to be more rain today.
Could take up to a week to get the power back on that Hurricane Umberto knocked out. Tracy Evans, CBS News, High Island, Texas.
Umberto now just a tropical depression, still dumping a lot of unwanted rain. The United Auto Workers Union picking General Motors as the lead company and potential strike target in its contract negotiations with the Detroit Three. This according to a local union official who requests anonymity. Contracts between the UAW, GM, Chrysler, and Ford do expire at midnight Friday. There is no such thing as a routine traffic stop.
We have been informed that, unfortunately and sadly, one of the officers that was involved in the shooting has just passed away.
Miami-Dade Mayor Carlos Alvarez, authorities still looking for the man who killed a police officer and injured 3 others during that traffic stop today. The Dow finishes up 133 points today to end at 13,424. This is CBS News.
Do you know that Office Depot rewards you for shopping? Sign up now for the new Office Depot Work-Life Rewards Program. It's bigger, better, and more rewarding than ever. Now you get 10% back on ink, toner, paper, design, print, and ship purchases, plus 1% back on nearly everything else you buy. It's free, and there's no limit to the amount of rewards you can earn. Rewards are given as an Office Depot reward card when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Certain restrictions apply. Excludes HP ink and toner. Go to myworkliferewards.com for details.
Hi. I'm David Orrick, and I'm introducing an amazing new technology for turning bad air into good air. And only Orrick has it. It's my new professional air purifier with a revolutionary Truman cell. It's so advanced it can even capture volatile organic compounds that are known carcinogens. To try the purest of air purifiers risk-free, call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
Sylvester Johnson is looking for a few thousand good men, black men, to patrol the streets of Philadelphia. The police chief says black men have a duty to protect more vulnerable residents. He wants each volunteer to pledge to work 3 hours a day for at least 90 days. Johnson, who is black, acknowledges that police can't do the job alone. He says it's time for African-American men to stand up. This is not a commercial.
Anytime you want delicious chocolate.
Think of it as more of a happy birthday message.
Very good.
Milt Hershey, born 150 years ago today. And residents of Hershey, Pennsylvania, celebrating big time tonight.
We're assembling everyone in to form the letters, thank you. And they'll all have flashlights. And when it gets dark, we're going to shine them into the air to do an illuminated thank you to Milton Hershey.
Hershey's spokeswoman, Pam Whitenack, says that it'll be as cool a show, a light show, as anything Pink Floyd ever did. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Do you know that Office Depot rewards you for shopping? Sign up now for the new Office Depot Work-Life Rewards Program. It's bigger, better, and more rewarding than ever. Now you get 10% back on ink, toner, paper, design, print, and ship purchases. Plus, 1% back on nearly everything else you buy. It's free, and there's no limit to the amount of rewards you can earn. Rewards are given as an Office Depot reward card when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Certain restrictions apply. Excludes HP ink and toner. Go to myworkliferewards.com for details.
Hi, I'm Reggie Bush of the New Orleans Saints. If you live for football like I live for football, all you got to do is switch to Dish Network. Get football 24/7 on the NFL Network on Dish Network.
Get in the game with Dish Network and get over 100 of the hottest channels for only $29.99 a month. Get the best sports and movies in HD with a free HD DVR upgrade and free HD programming for 6 months. Call 1-888-770-DISH today. Offer ends 1/31/08 and is subject to change without notice. Requires $49.99 activation fee and 18-month commitment. Restrictions apply.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Glad you can join us. We've got a lot to talk about. It's been quite a week in Washington, D.C., and the news continues to break. There's plenty of stuff to talk about. We're going to open up the phone lines here in our first segment to get your reaction to some breaking news. We'll share that with you shortly. Later this hour, Ari Melber will join us. He writes for The Nation. He has a very interesting article that's up right now at thenation.com regarding the 9/11 anniversary and the trade-off of security for privacy and our constitutional rights. And he says that that equation misses the mark. He said the real loss here is a sacrifice of the rule of law. And we're going to talk about that from the perspective of a former Bush administration official, Jack Goldsmith. Also coming up today in about an hour, Scott Dick will join us. He is our retired military vet, expert on military and veterans issues. And in particular, I'm going to work Scott pretty hard today because I've got some of these baffling, convoluted Pentagon speakies. I don't know how to describe it. These phrases that come out of the general's mouth, and just how many of us have piled into that rucksack that he keeps talking about. So Scott will be with us. He's got some background on General Petraeus. We're going to talk about his military history and promotion. And we're also going to delve into questions that are swirling around related to a possible stand down of the United States Air Force scheduled for tomorrow. Now, I want to hasten to add that this is information that has only come to me through emails and a few blogs, and I have no proof. But the question has been raised, and so we're going to explore it. This is in relation to what you may have heard talked about on this program or elsewhere, recently reported. There was a flight of a B-52 bomber from Minot, South Dakota, to Barksdale, the air base in Louisiana, and it had nuclear weapons on it. By some accounts, 5. Other accounts, it should have been 6, because they apparently come in 6-packs. And so there are some questions as to, A, why this leaked out of the military, why it happened to begin with, And again, we have been unable to confirm to date that there is a stand down scheduled for tomorrow, but we are investigating that, and we'll see if Scott comes up with anything when he joins us next hour. Also on the program today, Melanie Sloan from CRU, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. We're going to talk about David Vitter and the hookers who keep surfacing with a little nudge and a lie detector test from Larry Flint. And we're also going to talk about the latest scandal involving Neil Bush. He's the ne'er-do-well Bush brother who got in trouble during the savings and loan scandal in the 1980s. Remember Silverado Savings and Loan? I think that was a $2 billion tab to the taxpayers, but my memory could be fuzzy on that. Could be even more. Well, Neil is back, and Melanie will tell us what he's up to and how he's benefiting from his family connections. Also on today's program, we cannot be sure, but it appears that our in-depth, undercover, low-budget investigative reporter, Tommy Panic, is going to resurface. We haven't heard from him in ages, and all I know is he's in Washington, and he'll check in with us, we hope, before the end of the show. Of course, if he's not detained by security officials again. And we'll also have an update for you. There is a bill headed to the governor's desk called AB 1430 here in California, and the California Clean Money Campaign has issued an alert saying, urge the governor to veto this. We'll explain why. It will relax political fundraising rules by doing a state preemptive kind of approach. So we'll get the details for you on that a little bit later on in the program. So feel free to call me. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. You want to talk about General Petraeus and the Bush speech tonight? I'm happy to talk with you about that or anything else that's on your mind. Phone lines are open, and so is my mind for your thoughts and viewpoints. 888-573-8372. Now, this story broke in, the last 30 minutes or so. A key Sunni sheikh who united with U.S. forces to fight al-Qaeda militants in Iraq was assassinated Thursday by a roadside bomb. This according to CNN. And the language here is something that I get suspicious about. Who united with U.S. forces to fight al-Qaeda militants in Iraq. Now, Sheikh Abdul Sattar Abu Risha was killed when a bomb struck a convoy, and at least two of his bodyguards were killed. Five other escorts were wounded in the afternoon attack. Abu Risha, age 39, was head of the Anbar Salvation Council, also known as the Anbar Awakening, and that's a coalition of tribes that has been working with the U.S. military to counter al-Qaeda. Again, al-Qaeda is mentioned here in Sunni-dominated Anbar province. The council, funded and supported by the Iraqi prime minister, was formed last year, and this has been the collaboration, if you will, that General Petraeus has been touting. And keep in mind, Anbar province barely was touched by the so-called surge. All right, the escalation of U.S. troop presence that has occurred over the past 6 months has just touched the fringes of Anbar on what is called the Baghdad Belt. Yet, in the presentation, starting with Bush's secret trip to Anbar province on his way to Australia, and then followed up by the commentary, testimony, of Petraeus and Ambassador Crocker, what we are hearing is a kind of bait and switch, where they want us to believe that by working with collaborators in Anbar, many of whom have received cash, Petraeus says, not weapons. We've given them cash, but not weapons. And essentially, we've hired some warlords of the Sunni persuasion, and it may help us for the moment. It may give the Bush administration this momentary breather of reduced violence in Anbar province, one of the least populated provinces of Iraq. As they try to spin the so-called success that Bush will say permits him to bring home the surge forces and return us to the level of January of 2007 by the summer of 2008. And if that is a kind of gamesmanship, well, that's what it is. So it's interesting to hear that this assassination occurred in Anbar province today. And presumably it will be a setback for the progress touted by the Bushies. Now, here's one other item. In an interview on Wednesday on the PBS NewsHour, Ambassador Crocker volunteered. He wasn't asked this question, but just kind of out of the blue, he said he wanted to talk about some of the good things that are going on in Iraq, because he had described this dysfunctional government and was unwilling to put a timeline of any sort on when this government might become even barely functional. And he wanted to brag about what he called resource distribution. He said the oil revenues are being distributed fairly by the central government in Baghdad, even, he implied, in the Sunni-dominated areas like Al-Anbar province. And they're doing it without an oil-sharing law. This according to Ambassador Crocker. Well, Thursday's front page, upper right corner of the New York Times, announces Iraq compromise on oil law seems to be collapsing. Now, depending on which aspect of the oil law you look at, some aspects of it do relate to division of the net proceeds from oil sales divided among the different factions in Iraq by geography and by ethnicity. What the oil law will do that many of our commentators like Raya Jarar and Antonia Yuhas have pointed out is the gross revenues from Iraqi oil sales will largely be swallowed up by the corporate oil explorers and exploiters. And the lead among them will be, of course, Chevron. I guess it's Chevron Texaco now. BP, Royal Dutch Shell, and Conoco, the others who scan and span the globe to pump oil out of the ground. And so here we have two instant examples of the... I'm struggling for words here because I'm loath to call Ambassador Crocker a liar. I don't know the guy. This is really the first exposure I've had to him. But all I can say is that the rosy report, even though it's not totally rosy, but the spin that Crocker and Petraeus have put on so-called progress in Iraq is contradicted by these news developments just today. And so as they game the Congress and Bush asks for more time to defer a decision on troop levels in Iraq, they say they cannot make that decision possibly until March of 2008. Well, they're simply buying time. They're stretching this whole thing out. And the question is, will the American people, and more importantly, will Democratic leaders find the courage, find the passion, access the anger to lead us in a different direction? That's what I'd love to talk with you about. Lines are open right now. We're going to take a quick break and return. 888-5, Peter B. is my toll-free number. We're live in Sacramento again today, sitting in for Christine Kraft on 1240 Talk City, KSAC. Again, my toll-free number, 888-5, Peter B. And you can also email me, peter at peterbcollins.com.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey, The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants. But we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com, SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. Sober Stones.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, where you can call in toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Got a hot new tune I want to play for you here. This one's called Oil War.
Well, the good old boys, they met behind doors, giving up for a Middle East war, with a map of Iraq on the wall, finding ways to profit from it all. Papa stumbled along the way, now this junior to save the day. They think they know what's best for us, when all they wanted was more surplus. But we don't need the lies no more, and we sure don't need their oil war. Well, they parted ways to frame the lie. Weapons of destruction we couldn't buy. Then they said we did it for democracy. So why are we stuck with this theocracy? We can't cut and run in a war that cannot be won. They think they know what's best for us, when all they want is more than us. But we don't need the lies no more, and we sure don't need their oil war.
Just another fine political protest song from the Peter B. Collins Tax Deductible Music Archives. That one's called Oil War. It's 23 minutes past the hour. And I want to acknowledge an email from Duncan, who listens in Eureka on the mighty KGOE 1480. First of all, he emailed and said that he will make it a point to patronize the sponsors of KGOE, and we really appreciate that. And people should do that wherever you're listening to this program, because the key to keeping Progressive Talk Radio healthy and on the air is the sponsors who help support our stations. So you know how to do that. Take care of business, please. He has three questions. Let's see if I can deal with them here. Is there any compelling evidence that Iraq would really descend into chaos once we leave? I ask this simply in light of the credible evidence that three-quarters of the Iraqis want us to leave now. Well, this is a difficult question, there's no doubt about it. And the Bush administration has been using the fear of our departure and the chaos that may or may not result as a way of trying to keep us wedged in there. And I believe that this is an empty threat because we will ultimately have to face the vacuum left by our departure, whether it is 10 weeks from now or 10 years from now. And we know that the mindset of those who reside in Iraq is much longer term than ours. And I think it's fair to say that they will wait us out, whether it is 10 weeks or 10 years. And there may be some very nasty civil war battles that occur as the U.S. is leaving or after we pull out. And I understand concerns that humanitarians have about that, whether you supported any of this mess or not. When you look at the narrow question of what will happen when we leave, I do understand that some people are concerned that it will get far worse. And that may occur, it may be temporary, it may be not. But the bottom line is that our presence is an irritant that continues some of the sectarian strife, that we are being used by Sunnis and Shia to attack one another and even to help support intra-Nasine battles where we have Shia on Shia, Sunni on Sunni. And so until all the scores are settled in Iraq, we will be hapless bystanders for the most part. And Robert Dreyfus, who was on our program this week, a Washington-based journalist with a foreign policy focus, he wrote a piece for the Washington Monthly, I think it was in the April edition of 2007, which described various scenarios in the possible route out of Iraq for U.S. forces. And he was able to show that it's not necessarily going to be a cataclysm. But again, we don't know. The point is, the Bush administration wants to use that unknown to prolong our presence in Iraq for as long as 10 years or more at very high troop levels, and the Democrats need to call that bluff. And in doing so, they can't promise that they know that our departure will be smooth and that no further Iraqi blood will be shed. But we have to ask ourselves how we got mired into this to begin with, and then look at how we get out. Number two question here from Duncan. Who is al-Qaeda in Iraq? Well, this is a question I've been pursuing quite a bit. I sat in for Tom Hartman on Air America today and raised that question with a number of the people I interviewed. And I believe that this is where General Petraeus is spinning, dissembling, possibly lying, most obviously. Because in his remarks, he has described virtually all enemies of the U.S. and the Iraqi central government as al-Qaeda. And we know that simply isn't true. Congressman Jim McDermott from Seattle put the figure at 2-5% of armed forces in Iraq are linked even indirectly to al-Qaeda. And finally, Duncan says, I gather you're not wild about Ms. Clinton as our next president. Who do you think has the most credible assessment to end our occupation? Well, the simple answer to that is Dennis Kucinich. And of the media darlings, the anointed front runners, well, I would say John Edwards has the most detailed and credible plan. Barack Obama's working on it. He issued some statements yesterday. I haven't fully absorbed them, but he is trying to get more specific and I think develop a leadership posture among presidential candidates of the Democratic persuasion. So I remain open-minded, Duncan. I can't support Hillary Clinton for a variety of reasons. I don't want to see another Clinton in the White House. I don't want to replay the follies of the 90s. I also just don't think she was wise in the votes that she has made as a U.S. senator related to foreign policy and, in particular, the Bush administration's adventure in Iraq. So there you go. Thank you, Duncan. I appreciate your email. Good to have you listening. We're going to take a break and return with Ari Melber from The Nation. He's written a powerful piece about the rollback in the rule of law here in these United States. That's next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
This Sunday on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, hear Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Holdings, talk about the great state of Wyoming. Jim has a special announcement about a project he's working on in Wyoming that'll be a unique opportunity for you. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, now covering over 30 real estate markets. Check us out on the web at rockrollinrealestate.com or call 408-892-3376. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
You know,
The show on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I told our people, get information without torture, and was assured by our Justice Department that we were not torturing.
And you need to know, they hate us because we love freedom.
Well, we've never been stayed, of course, George.
And I think it's important in a time of war that to the extent possible, we leave politics out of the major decisions being made.
However, we will not go along with a partisan fishing expedition aimed at honorable public servants. I have proposed a reasonable way to avoid an impasse.
Said was the Czech intelligence service reported after 9/11 that Atta had been in Prague on April 9th of 2001, where he allegedly met with an Iraqi intelligence official. We have never been able to confirm that, nor have we been able to knock it down.
It's been pretty well confirmed that he did go to Prague and he did meet with a senior official of the Iraqi intelligence service in Czechoslovakia last April.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Hey, drive carefully out there now, will you? I want you to come back from Dead Man's Curve, whether it's in Big Sur or Auburn, California. Out there in the Willamette Valley. particular reason for that song. The bumper music here on the Peter B. Collins Show is for my amusement, and if you like it too,
that's great.
Returning to our program today, a writer for The Nation, Ari Melber, who put up a piece on September 11th that you can find at thenation.com, and I think it's noteworthy. Ari, welcome.
Thank you. How are you?
Doing okay today. How about you?
Doing great.
Yeah? Let me read the first paragraph of this piece. It's written, it's entitled Bush's 9/11 Trade-Off. After 6 years, America's post-9/11 discourse has not changed much. Politicians and journalists still present most homeland security debates as trade-offs between security and liberty. But the Bush administration's most severe security measures since 9/11 are actually premised on radically different trade-off, pursuing security by sacrificing the rule of law itself. And I think this is a very important point you're making, Ari. What prompted it? What triggered this in your own analysis?
You know, it's something I've been thinking about for several years because the liberty-security arguments tend to go towards security, even among, you know, mainstream liberals a lot of the time, because people are so worried about terror and they're worried about more lives being lost, and that's understandable. A standard example is that when we talk about the personal liberty that you sacrifice when you go through extensive searches at the airport, it's something most people have been willing to sacrifice. And it is invasive to do all the kinds of searches and take your shoes off and open your papers, but most people are willing to make that trade-off. And we've made it, I think, mostly in a democratic way, to pick that example. When you look at a lot of what the Bush administration has done, the most severe crimes and the most terrible things that have happened, within our borders, leaving foreign policy aside for the moment, they have not used democratic debate, and they have not had a frank discourse with the country, with the nation, about any trade-offs. They've simply broken the law at the highest levels from within the White House on down, and then left everyone else to pick up the pieces. So it's undemocratic, and the problem is, in many instances, the country, the public, still is not fully cognizant of it, precisely because they've used such surreptitious, illegal, and secretive maneuvers to carry out their agenda.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this comes into sharper relief with the book that was published in the last 10 days by Jack Goldsmith. Now, he's a pretty distinguished law expert. I believe he was a professor at Harvard.
That's right.
And he has published this book called The Terror Presidency. And I've not read the book yet. You have, Ari, but I did see a powerful interview that Bill Moyers did on PBS with Mr. Goldsmith. And it really was fascinating to me because this is a guy who ultimately resigned from the administration because he couldn't support their most extreme power grabs. But it doesn't make him, a Daniel Ellsberg. He's a guy who buys into the threat and buys into the very powerful, muscular, centered in the executive response.
That's exactly right. And he was selected for the position after doing some legal work in an advisory capacity for the Defense Department. He has a very strong view that the executive should really be basically unchallenged on a whole host of foreign policy commander-in-chief powers. And he believes that in times of war, the executive can work with Congress and the courts to assert extraordinary authority. Now, where am I coming from? I actually disagree with him on some of those points. I imagine you would as well. But he had to leave after 7 months, not over those issues, but because, as he explains in the book, he was so fundamentally uncomfortable with the extra-legal, illegal, and criminal way that many policies were pursued. And for one, really telling example, it was Mr. Goldsmith, along with Acting Attorney General James Comey, who were in John Ashcroft's hospital room when Alberto Gonzalez and Chief of Staff Andy Card came in and tried to muscle the Attorney General in a precarious medical position, tried to muscle him into authorizing a program of domestic surveillance that John Ashcroft, Jack Goldsmith, and Comey were all against because it was so illegal. Now, again, let's be clear. Goldsmith was not saying, I'm against any kind of executive spying. He was saying, if you want to do this, as a lawyer, as a general counsel, in his position, his sworn duty, you have to go to Congress. You have to get the legal authority. Then you can have a policy debate over whether it's a good idea. And again, taking us back to where we started, how much liberty and how many rights we as Americans want to give up. But what he could not condone was seizing that power and doing it illegally and just seeing, you know, letting the consequences fall where they may and having a criminal presidency. He would not tolerate that.
And as I listened to Goldsmith in the interview with Bill Moyers, what I picked up is that Dick Cheney, coming out of the Nixon-Ford White Houses, felt that Watergate had eroded presidential power. And he essentially went on a bender for the rest of his life to try to restore, beef that up, and expand it. And he's been incredibly successful in that quest. What Goldsmith described was David Addington, who is Cheney's, I guess he's chief of staff now, but he was counsel when Scooter was chief of staff. And Addington has been at Cheney's side for at least the last 15, if not 20 years. And so we can expect that their thinking is similar, if not identical. And Goldsmith cited comments from Addington that really drove a kind of hysteria in the administration following 9/11. And they would paint the bleakest possible picture. He cited Addington as saying, you know, that they expected on the first anniversary of 9/11 that there would be a subsequent attack and that 100,000 Americans or more might die. Now, that is a very extreme set of hypotheticals. And if that's the mindset in the White House that drove the illegal NSA programs of data mining, of wiretapping phone calls that had some connection or connectivity in the United States, in flat violation of the FISA law and the FISA court, you start to get a sense of what drove them. I'm not rationalizing it or accepting it in any way, shape, or form, but you see a mentality there that goes beyond just your regular bunker mentality.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it brings us into some really fundamental questions about separation of powers in our system. We obviously do want some people that we pay, that work for the government, thinking about worst-case scenarios. We want them in the White House. We want them in the Defense Department. That's part of the job. The question is, do they then have unchecked authority to operate off the worst-case scenario at all times and do whatever they please? And the answer in the Constitution and among, you know, among the writings of the Founding Fathers is absolutely not. And Justice Souter actually spoke to this point in the original Rasul decision, which rejected some of the administration's claims about detaining people forever without trial. And he alluded to this, I think, in part by saying that while it is perfectly acceptable for members of the executive to take a very worst-case scenario, strong view of what they think is best policy, it is essential and required in our system for them to present that to Congress and the courts if they're sued and have to make and defend their case. In other words, that's bottom line separation of powers. What's happened here is we have folks with, as you say, worse than a bunker mentality, and then they've gone farther and they've said, and we're not answerable to anyone. And they've shut the Congress out of the process, and they try increasingly to shut the courts out. And that leaves us without any oversight. And that's not just bad, obviously, for liberty, for constitutional rights, but ultimately it leads to, and Goldsmith writes about this, it leads to a kind of unchecked groupthink that has no opportunity for correction because it doesn't allow anyone else into the room to say, well, you guys sound crazy, or you're missing this other vulnerability, or here's the other side to this. That level of secrecy and sort of unchecked authority is not good for security in the end either.
We're talking with Ari Melber, who writes for The Nation. The article, commentary that we're talking about is available at thenation.com. It's called Bush's 9/11 Trade-Off. Now, Ari, again, citing the Moyers interview with Jack Goldsmith, it was interesting because Moyers pressed him on why the administration repeatedly grabbed for power instead of working with the Republican-controlled Congress to give them the power that they sought. Now, with the Military Commissions Act, and most recently, despite Democratic control, the NSA amnesty bill that was passed in early August, we have seen that both Democrats and Republicans can be squeezed, pressured, or gosh, I can't imagine they all do it with an open mind and full thought. But they can be pressured, intimidated into passing legislation that Bush wanted and that Democrats, at least, did not wish to see enacted. And yet, repeatedly, the administration grabbed for the power unilaterally without submitting to congressional approval, even under a friendly Congress. And Goldsmith seemed a little puzzled by that in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, he talks about how he couldn't understand why they wouldn't put it on, quote, a surer legal footing, end quote, because, as you say, they could have gotten it then from the Republicans, and even still, when forced, they've gotten it later from the Democrats. And, you know, my research on this suggests that it's precisely because they've come, a small group of extremists who have, at its power, have come to view the rule of law itself as a barrier to national security. And you see this most famously in the 2005 defense strategy of the United States, which, by the way, is an example of a congressionally mandated report that the Defense Department has to issue, not just to Congress, but to the public, so we can see what they're thinking. That's a good thing. You know, that's a chance for us to see what the doctrine is and what the plan is. And in this particular one, again, it's worth noting why we have it in the first place, they said that there will be a strategy of the weak, that is, our enemies who are weak, and will use international fora, courts, and terrorism to challenge the United States primacy, to challenge the United States' strength as a country. And so it basically equates the judicial process with terrorism and says that will be used by our enemies.
Hmm.
Now, this is a famous thing. A lot of law professors have opined on this, and Goldsmith does talk about it in the book, although I think he actually kind of misses the point. He refers to it and gives a lot of background about the human rights evolution and the type of folks who pressed Henry Kissinger to go to court or answer for his foreign policies, and Goldsmith is concerned about that. But I think he misses the boat. The real point of that report is it gives you an idea that you've got folks in power in the Defense Department who see the law, who see American courts as a barrier to security. That's the mentality. And we have to sometimes put aside all the other reasons we know that they've manipulated things and asserted their own power because, as you said, of Cheney's history, or because they want to win the next election, or exploiting the politics of it. All those things are real. But even putting that aside, there are career people and lawyers and other influential folks in government now who really do believe that. And they're wrong. And I argue in this piece exactly why they're wrong. But that is the mentality that has driven this. And that's why Goldsmith at the end says, oh, I had to resign after 7 months, and I don't understand why they didn't do it. And I'm thinking, well, you know, you're a Harvard professor, you refer to the report, you really ought to understand by now exactly why they wouldn't do it.
Well, and he brought fresh new detail to the Ashcroft Hospital visit scene.
Yeah, yeah.
And what he added was that after Gonzalez and Card left the room there in intensive care, Mrs. Ashcroft stuck out her tongue at them.
That's right. Well, that gives you, I mean, again, some of these things become very human when you think about that, or you think about what a hero James Comey turned out to be, who's, of course, a lifelong Republican and had his job by virtue of being active as a Republican attorney,
mm-hmm.
But ultimately has a higher fidelity to the rule of law, and we've seen that in the light he's been able to shed on that, and we know now that he and Mueller and Ashcroft and also author of the book now.
Jack Goldsmith.
And Jack Goldsmith, that we're talking about, all of these folks, were prepared to resign and protest over aspects of the domestic surveillance program, mm-hmm. again, for the reasons we've been discussing. So it's very important because we're going in, of course, into a whole other presidential campaign season, and we're going to continue hearing about the lessons of 9/11 and pre- and post-9/11 mentalities. And so the thing that I do find encouraging about our Democratic debate is these are ongoing issues. These are contested narratives,
mm-hmm.
and we have to continue to press the case that the rule of law and the security are working in concert when we have the right people in power. That's why we need to get this gang far outside of government so we can return to a rule of law that really protects rights and advances security in this nation.
Ari Melber with us on the Peter B. Collins Show. Read the article, the commentary, at thenation.com. We'll take a break and return. We'll go to the phones. So if you've got a comment, give us a call toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And I'm Peter B. Collins.
The term UFO is too easy to debunk. Instead, for a quantum leap in mind consciousness, consider extraterrestrial and spirit contact. Consider the rhetorical quantum question, why not, as opposed to the old paradigm of why. Why not will allow you more freedom to make statements, ask questions, receive answers. New concepts are really old concepts rediscovered. Take the quantum leap at 11 a.m. Saturday on KRXA 540.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Well, it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testified lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men or three women can live.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You got to catapult the propaganda.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour. I want to acknowledge our listeners in Sacramento, or Arnoldville, as one wag put it. We're in again today for the vacationing Christine Kraft here, Peter B. Collins Show on 1240 Talk City, KSAC in Sacramento. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with me and the nation's Ari Melber. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And Ari Melber's piece is entitled Bush's 9/11 Trade-Off. If you just joined us, we're talking about how most people fashion the debate as between security and liberty. And Ari makes the point, informed by this new book by Jack Goldsmith, who left the Bush administration because he couldn't endorse all of the power grabs and security compromises, or at least our privacy compromises, being proposed and implemented. And what Ari describes here is that the trade-off is pursuing security by sacrificing the rule of law itself. And Ari, I think this has very significant potential ramifications because this shift is more problematic than some of the short-term kinds of things that we may not like, but we can put up with, like, oh, the water bottle at the airport confiscation thing.
Right.
So
I think that's right. And I think, again, we don't have the ability to check the executive on some of these issues if we don't know about them. And that's the fundamental difference. When we say rule of law, we mean that in the democratic context, which means answerable to the courts and Congress, which is ultimately mechanisms to be answerable to the public. And one example that I always give is when I speak to folks, sometimes I hear, well, why isn't there more outrage about the spying? You know, some folks get it and understand how oppressive unchecked surveillance is in the hand of a government, any government, whether you like the current occupant of the White House or the next one. Unchecked surveillance tends to be a tool of totalitarianism and control in almost any society. That's why we have Fourth Amendment and checks on it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in this country, we've had a lack, I think, a real lack of outrage over that. And I think the main reason is that it's not real to people, that the false sense of security, that it doesn't apply to them, pervades. And there's no real way right now with the secrecy and the way that the government has done it to really show people yet, unless we get good investigations, exactly how far-reaching this is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, compare that to the discussions just after 9/11/01 about national ID cards, where you said, you know, any 18-year-old, 16-year-old can get a fake state ID to get, you know, to get beer. Obviously, these terrorist enemies of ours can get a hold of fake ID cards at the state level and use those to board planes.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's very easy to get a fake ID, and then they're checking them at the airport, a state ID. There's no doubt that a passport or a nationally issued register ID card would be more foolproof, mm-hmm. I think. And I think a lot of folks have said that. Why don't we have national ID cards in this country? Because you'd have to force everyone to get them and carry them around, and they'd realize how much their personal liberty was invaded, and there's been a huge resistance to that.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, in my opinion, a good contrast, where when it's real and physical and in people's faces, they say, I don't want the government making me carry around a card every day. When you think about it, I would argue that in itself is actually less invasive than having the government on all your phone lines without you knowing about it every
right.
day.
Steve in Watsonville, join us. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks, Peter. I want to talk about the Constitution with Mr. Melber, but first I'd like to wish all the listeners a holy Ramadan and a happy Rosh Hashanah, and I wish I could say those in Arabic and Hebrew properly.
Me too.
If any listeners know how to say it, and please call us in. I'm hoping that a whole lot of people will amass on Washington, D.C. to really celebrate Ramadan and Rosh Hashanah in traditional liberal style.
All right.
Mr. Melber?
Yes, sir.
In the Constitution, Article 1, I think Section 8, Clause 11, Congress has the exclusive power to declare war. However, Congress hasn't declared a war since World War II, and I'm wondering if it isn't time for a constitutional amendment to put, you know, the power of the executive to engage in police actions or military interventions 100% in the control of the legislature. That's the way the Constitution was intended.
Good question, Steve. What do you think, Ari?
So I think it's a great point. I think there's two pieces to the answer. The first is from a legal standpoint. The Supreme Court has ruled that the authorizations of force, which are now typically used instead of declarations of war, do trigger the full executive authority of the president. So in that sense, we can't let our members of Congress come back and tell us, well, we didn't know and, you know, we weren't really trying to go to war, because there is clear precedent in the court, and we saw this most recently in the Rasool and Hamdan decisions, where even when rejecting Bush's power grab, the court said, we're rejecting it. This is out of bounds, but we do acknowledge that the authorization of force triggered the full war authority.
Mm-hmm.
The second piece, I think, that's very important to what you're saying is, we can demand that members of Congress only issue declarations of war and not the authorizations of force that we've seen in the last several conflicts, precisely because it is a higher bar. It sounds like a higher bar. It plays out that way in public debate, and it will, I would argue, put a lot more pressure on folks who try to say, and we've heard this from many people now in both parties, that they weren't voting for war with Iraq. They were voting to strengthen the president's hand. They were voting to help the inspectors get in. And there's a lot of double talk there. And I do think that if you basically say no more half measures,
mm-hmm.
if you're going to war, you tell the American public, you call it a war declaration, you're very clear, and you only do it the day you're ready to invade the country.
Gotta go. Ari Melber from TheNation.com. Thank you very much.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective here on KRXA 540.
Tom Hartman.
Why is it that it's the guys who've served in combat, like John Kennedy had his boat blown out of the water, who are the ones who speak of peace?
The United States, as the world knows, will never start a war.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
This generation of Americans has already had enough, more than enough, of war and hate and oppression.
And the ones who have never served in combat are the ones who are all gung-ho to fire off the bombers.
Tom Hartman, live every morning 9 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A key ally of U.S. forces in Iraq is dead.
This is a tragic loss both to Anbar province and to Iraq in general.
And the president will speak to the nation in a couple of hours.
Though some U.S. troops will be coming home soon, President Bush vows to prevail in Iraq.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Cammie McCormick. Just 10 days after meeting with President Bush, a key Sunni sheikh in Anbar province has been assassinated. Sheikh Abdul Sattar, credited by many with turning the security situation around when he rallied other tribal leaders to fight al-Qaeda in Iraq. Colonel Steve Boylan is the chief spokesman for the commander of U.S. forces in Iraq, General Dave Petraeus.
He considers this a very tragic loss.
Sheikh Sattar had been targeted before. In January, a rocket exploded outside a building where he was speaking to reporters. He barely flinched. Today, a car bomb exploded near his home in Ramadi, killing Sattar and two of his bodyguards. So how will his death impact what may be one of the few success stories in Iraq?
There are other Sunni leaders, but as far as which one or which ones will come forward to pick up where he started and now, unfortunately and tragically, is left off, we'll have to see.
President Bush is expected to mention the sheikh in his speech this evening. That speech will outline his plans for Iraq. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller joins us live.
Cammie, in his 21st address to the nation, the 10th about Iraq, Mr. Bush will acknowledge that many challenges remain to be overcome there. But he'll say the surge of U.S. forces he ordered in January have improved the situation, so much so that thousands of troops will be coming home. 2,200 Marines this month and 3,500 Army soldiers by Christmas. He'll say no new forces will be sent to replace them, but he'll renew his determination to prevail in Iraq and will call it a moral and strategic imperative. Live at the White House, I'm Mark Noller, CBS News.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. Rhode Island Senator Jack Reed, a former Army paratrooper, will give the Democratic response to the president's speech and reject most everything Mr. Bush has to say. Democrats say there is no meaningful progress in Iraq. The president's troop withdrawal proposal would still leave 130,000 troops in Iraq after next summer and for the foreseeable future. And they say after 4.5 years, the American people are tired of being told that if they just wait a little longer, things will get better.
Now this.
Taking care of
know that Office Depot rewards you for shopping? Sign up now for the new Office Depot Work-Life Rewards Program. It's bigger, better, and more rewarding than ever. Now you get 10% back on ink, toner, paper, design, print, and ship purchases. Plus, 1% back on nearly everything else you buy. It's free, and there's no limit to the amount of rewards you can earn. Rewards are given as an Office Depot reward card when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Certain restrictions apply. Excludes HP ink and toner. Go to myworklife.rewards.com for details.
When you were a kid, wishing upon a star was a cute idea. But unless I'm completely in the dark here, you're not a kid anymore. Though you still got dreams, don't you? You got a plan to get them up and running, or are you just keeping your fingers crossed? Maybe it's time for a wake-up call.
Dream Plan Track from Ameriprise Financial. Financial planning redefined. Visit us at Ameriprise.com/dream.
Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
It was the first hurricane to hit the Gulf Coast since Rita and Katrina, and Humberto seemed to come out of nowhere, forming quickly and then slamming into Texas and Louisiana. Connie Payton lives in High Island. The storm took the roof off her house.
I walked around the back, and I picked up a little book that was my grandchild's. It was up in the attic. I started looking, and there's all kinds of things from the attic out there.
Southwest Louisiana still hasn't recovered fully from Hurricane Rita 2 years ago. Many people there still live in FEMA trailers. The hurricane was partly to blame for record oil prices. John Kilduff is an oil analyst.
Hurricane Humberto came ashore and took several of our nation's refineries offline in Texas, and that got gasoline prices spiking and has helped drag crude oil now back up over $80 a barrel.
And he expects that to be reflected at the gas pump in the coming weeks. General Motors could see picket lines if the United Auto Workers chooses it as a strike target. The union is still negotiating it with the big three automakers. A French newspaper is reporting that the young child at the center of a huge investigation in Portugal may have ingested a large quantity of sleeping pills and overdosed. Parents of 4-year-old Madeline McCann reported her missing when they returned to their hotel room after a dinner with friends. They are both named as suspects in her disappearance. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Do you know that Office Depot rewards you for shopping? Sign up now for the new Office Depot Work-Life Rewards Program. It's bigger, better, and more rewarding than ever. Now you get 10% back on ink, toner, paper, design, print, and ship purchases. Plus, 1% back on nearly everything else you buy. It's free, and there's no limit to the amount of rewards you can earn. Rewards are given as an Office Depot reward card when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Certain restrictions apply. Excludes HP ink and toner. Go to myworkliferewards.com for details.
Hi, I'm David Orrick, and I'm introducing an amazing new technology for turning bad air into good air. And only Orrick has it. It's my new professional air purifier with a revolutionary Truman cell. It's so advanced it can even capture volatile organic compounds that are known carcinogens. To try the purest of air purifiers risk-free, call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
It was a case that shocked the nation. The victim, a child who...
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show. The antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media.
Really?
Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Oh, really? We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening. Coming up next hour, Melanie Sloan returns. We'll talk about Senator David Vitter and the hookers who keep surfacing.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces sometimes.
It's been quite a week in Washington, D.C. Spinning. Smiling occasionally. The Bobbsey twins of General David Petraeus and Ambassador Ryan Crocker. One of the few funny things I heard them say was they were both looking forward to getting back to Baghdad. I think they really mean that? Joining me this hour is our contributor on military and veterans issues, Scott Dick. Served in the Marine Corps, and then he jumped over to the Army, where he retired as a major. And he joins us every week to help me understand the military mindset, some of these incredible phrases and acronyms, and for a lively discussion of our military situation, particularly in the Middle East. And you're welcome to join this conversation toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Scott's with us this entire hour. That number again is 888-573-8372. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing great, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I've just been absorbing a whole lot this week, and, well, I wanted to turn to you and get some of your reactions to the presentations that have been made, the way the media kind of set this up for a big tee-off, and the extent to which you think this will have any impact on our policy. So let's dive into it. First and foremost, what are your impressions of the posture, the testimony from General Petraeus and Ambassador Crocker this week?
Well, it seems like the stay the course. This is a stay the course general, and he's just mouthing the party line, the Republican party line, the GOP talking points that we have to stay the course. If we leave, Al-Qaeda is going to take over the world. Peter, that Al-Qaeda was in Iraq before we invaded, and so now it's a fight to the death with these 10-foot-tall operatives from Al-Qaeda.
You mean the Central Front in our war on terror?
Right. The Central Front in our war on terror, I hate, he's a four-star general, the PhD from Princeton. I hate to be the one to point to him and say the central war on terror is finding and killing Osama bin Laden.
Well, especially now since he has been signed up as an endorser for the Just for Men beard coloring product.
Yes, indeed. But, you know, somebody in the State Department said, you know, he's virtually impotent. Now, virtually is a word we use in the computer industry, do we not? Which means it's not really real. So is he really impotent or is he just virtually impotent? In other words, does he have only a 386 computer? I don't get it, and I don't know why the State Department, on one hand, they say Al-Qaeda is this dangerous 10-foot-tall, full of 10-foot-tall operatives, and then another, this whole thing, the insurgency in Al-Qaeda in Iraq and Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden, they're on their last legs.
Well, you've touched on something here that really concerns me and that I noticed riddled the commentary of both the ambassador and the general before the House, then the Senate, and in some media interviews. And by repeatedly referring to every potential enemy in Iraq as Al-Qaeda, that to me is political spin. That is a White House message point. And when you tie it to 9/11 and realize that many people believe in a non-existent link between Saddam and the attacks of 9/11, then it starts to kind of take shape as pure propaganda. And it was interesting because on the PBS NewsHour, General Petraeus was asked to respond to the criticism of Senator Joe Biden that Petraeus was spinning in his testimony before the various committees. And in a lengthy answer, Petraeus went on and on, and then finally he said that Al-Qaeda is the wolf closest to the sled. Now, are you familiar with that phrase? Is that a dog sled, like North Pole reference?
I don't know, and since he's never been up in the Alaskan Brigade, I don't know where he got that. I know as a tanker, tank officer, tank crewman, you always select the closest, the most dangerous target first. So I don't know. The wolf closest to the sled, maybe that's a Dutch reference. I don't know. I don't get it. The wolf closest at the sled is whoever launched the mortar that attacked somebody and injured 11 in the green zone just 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that we've already killed every identified Al-Qaeda operative in Iraq four times. Did the president not say that we're killing 1,200? That's 12,000 since January, and they estimate that Al-Qaeda in Iraq is only 3,000?
Well, it's dizzying, Scott. This morning when I sat in for Tom Hartman on Air America, I asked
bless you, by the way. Go ahead.
Thank you. I asked Congressman Jim McDermott from Washington State, a Democrat. I said that, the most generous estimates are that Al-Qaeda represents about 10% of the armed fighters in Iraq. And he corrected me. He said it's below 5%, could be as low as 2%. And so when you consider, let's just use the 5% figure to be equitable about it. The commentary from Petraeus and Crocker makes it sound like about 94% of the violence and the armed conflict in Iraq can be laid at the feet of Al-Qaeda members.
It just tells me, Peter, they're playing to the GOP political base. It is nothing but political gamesmanship. I don't think it's an honest assessment. If they were making the progress that Petraeus claims, he would have said, I'm bringing home 100,000 troops this summer and leaving 30,000, because we're on the verge of kicking their little butts, and they're going to be gone, ineffective as a fighting force. By that time, the police that I started working on 2 years ago will have stood up, the National Defense Forces would have stood up, and our guys will be and gals will be ready to come home, and we'll have a 30,000 sort of rapid reaction force left over, maybe 15,000 in Kuwait. But what he said was, Peter, he didn't say that. He said, basically, my attempt to get the police and national forces up and on their feet 2 years ago, at the tune of billions, failed. The current political strategy in Iraq, conducted by the administration, the State Department, has failed. And this is only such a mediocre success that I can only take 30,000 and leave 130,000 still in Iraq. And I don't see anybody pulling that kind of detail out of what he said. He's failed. He's admitted he's failed, and he wants at least another year. Maybe 10. He did say he didn't think we had the political will to have troops in Iraq for the next 10 years.
Well, let's focus on that for a moment, because on the NewsHour on PBS, he was specifically asked to respond to Speaker Pelosi's criticism that what Bush is really telling us, but not telling us explicitly, is that we're going to have a large force, her words, in Iraq for at least 10 years. So Petraeus said, well, after spending a couple of days on Capitol Hill, I consider that very unlikely. And then he went into double or triple speak here, and I tried to write this down. Beyond that is not something that I can envision recommending.
So, yeah, because he doesn't know the unknowns, and he knows the knowns. He knows the unknowns, but there are unknowns that he doesn't know. So he went to the Rumsfeld School of gobbledygook speak. I can't envision recommend. In other words, he's saying that, I don't know. But he can't say, I don't know, probably not. Maybe. He can either say, I don't remember, like Gonzo, or he can say some other nonsense that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. All right, now speaking of nonsense, did you hear the mouthful that is attributed to Petraeus and is occasionally quoted by Crocker, that we don't have a civil war going on in Iraq, Scott Dick? It is ethno-sectarian competition for power and resources. Isn't that an elegant phrase for civil war?
It's not even elegant. You know, this is where his PhD comes up to bite him in the butt. He thinks he's smarter than the rest of us, Peter. And some of his subordinates and colleagues have noticed that in the past. And that's just a way to say, hey, you're all too dumb. I got this. It's not a civil war, because if I use a civil war, the Bush boys aren't going to be happy. So I have to say this ethno-sectarian competition for resources and power, which, sounds like a civil war to me.
And truthout.org published a story that came from the Independent of London here toward the end of the week. And it quotes sources as saying that General David Petraeus has expressed a long-term interest in running for the U.S. presidency. And that's according to sources in Iraq, including a senior Iraqi official. Now, this is interesting because about a week ago, the New York Sun ran an editorial, and clearly there's some sort of a rear guard whisper campaign to promote the idea of General Petraeus being the president. And it was part of a wishful scenario in an editorial in the New York Sun, where they want Petraeus to tell it like it is to the American people and get us to find our resolve, stand and fight, and then come home with a victory, whatever that means.
Huh. So we're willing to give the top 1% earners in the United States a 49% of our deficit is due to the tax breaks to the top 1.5%. So Petraeus wants to be part of this system. He wants to conduct a war and give tax breaks to the filthy rich. Peter, this bothers me, because the fact that he let those words come out of his mouth, I want to be president someday, where anybody else could hear them, is a sin while you're in uniform, especially a four-star. I think what he's trolling for right now, Peter, is chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, because then he would have won. They said he's very, very competitive. He would have won every position that he could possibly compete for. After that would be the president.
We're going to take a break and continue with Scott Dick. We've got a couple of calls coming in. We'll go to the phones in the next segment, and you can join this conversation about military veterans issues. You got a question about General Petraeus? We'll do our best. Give us a call toll-free. It's 888-5-PETER-B. That number again is 888-573-8372. And you can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Cornucopia Natural Foods Carmel, Carmel Valley Market, and Staff of Life and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Not pull over to check out all. And let's take a look at traffic here on KRXA. Good afternoon to you. Let's tell you about Highway 17. So far, we had an earlier problem as far as slow traffic right at the Cat's Restaurant for some sort of situation there. Really no details at this point, so we're just passing that along, but things appear to have cleared up. Now, CHP also telling us about a problem. Let's see, here it is. It's Highway 198, just for Highway 25, an injury crash near King City, and it's a person laying down on the ground. Looks like they may have been ejected from the vehicle, and no other details at this point. Also taking a look at Vista Drive at Echo Valley in Monterey, two vehicles blocking lanes there.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm talking with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. He's with us this entire hour, and there's room for your phone call. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. Let's go to Don in Eureka. Thanks for your call, Don. You're on the air with Peter B. and Scott.
Greetings, Peter B. and Scott. Hey, I heard a brief story on the news this week about a truck accident in Iraq and that killed a number of soldiers. But oddly enough, two of them had been giving interviews somewhere that were not necessarily complimentary of the war effort over there. I was wondering if anybody knew any more about that story.
Sure. In fact, as I mentioned, I subbed for Tom Hartman today on his national radio program. And I dedicated the show to the memory of two sergeants, Staff Sergeant Yance Gray and Sergeant Omar Mora. They died on Monday of this week in a truck accident in Iraq. And they actually were part of a group of a total of seven non-commissioned officers who co-signed an op-ed piece that was published in the New York Times on August 19th. And it was entitled "The War as We Saw It." And in honoring them and dedicating the program, I pointed out that while they wear the uniform and they didn't compromise their integrity in that respect, they were very direct and eloquent, actually, in this op-ed publication where they described what's really going on in Iraq. And it contrasts sharply
with the BS that we've heard from Petraeus and Crocker this week?
I think I heard about 3 seconds on the news, and they didn't really go into details. They just said that they had been corresponding with some news people or something like that. Okay, thanks, Peter.
You bet. And go ahead and go to truthout.org or just Google the New York Times and the war as we saw it, because it's a very powerful piece, and I hope you'll check it out.
Thank you.
Okay. Scott, anything you wanted to add to that? I'm sorry, Scott, do I still have you?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think I tried to switch you and I didn't to the other box, but there you are.
Oh, yeah.
You're now live. Go right ahead.
Cut out, Peter.
I will.
No, it's a tragedy. There's nothing else you could say. These kids wrote a very intelligent, hard-hitting piece full of really thought-out, very well-commented. It was excellent. Excellent work. I'd expect that from master's degree students.
Yeah, it really was incredibly well-written and, as I say, very much on the mark. Now, one of the other thing that is things that has surfaced in recent days is that there appears to be a big gap, shall we say, an operational gap between Admiral Fallon, who is now the central commander of the whole operation in the Middle East, and his subordinate, David Petraeus. And an article has surfaced from thinkprogress.org, and it's been picked up at other websites, that quotes Fallon as using some pretty strong foul language to describe the ass-kissing, as he put it, that's the cleanest part that I can quote, that he attributes to General Petraeus. And he basically says, I really don't like people like you. So what have you heard through your military sources and your own reading about any conflict between Fallon and Petraeus, and what implications does it have for any issues related to Iraq or the potential of a military assault on Iran?
Well, this is very interesting because, Peter, if I was a four-star admiral or just a citizen and somebody said that I said that, let's say I said that about you, I would be the first one standing up in front of a news conference full of microphones saying, hey, whoever wrote that is full of crapola. Now, silence has been deafening coming out of Fallon's headquarters, hasn't it?
So
far. Have we seen him on CNN or standing by? I'm looking at the Pentagon Channel. He's not there denying any of this. So this doesn't bode well. Now, it used to be that officers have raters, and they're rated, and it's written down. But at this level, you know, four-star admiral, there's not much damage a four-star admiral can do to a four-star general. There'll be some yelling. Gates is going to get him in the room. He's going to smack them both upside the head. But it's who's running the show. Is it Keane, you know, this retired general who sold the surge to Bush through the AEI? And is he the one that's running interference for Petraeus, saying, Petraeus, hey, support the team, dude. We're the ones who got you here. And Fallon's just being marginalized. Fallon telling the truth, and he's getting the Shinseki treatment from the White House, not Gates.
Mm-hmm.
Gates is marvelously silent on all this too.
He's very low profile, wouldn't you say?
He may be an honest guy, Peter. I'm getting more and more respect for him every day when he's keeping his mouth shut.
The less he says, the more you trust him, huh?
Exactly. I don't see him waving any. We're winning the war, and just in another year we'll be out. No, it's. Because silence for guys at this level means a whole lot.
Well, you make a really good point there, Scott. Robert Gates has not been a part of this truthiness parade in any meaningful way. He last was seen at the airbase in Anbar when Bush made the stopover on his way to Australia.
Let me tell you, Peter, about generals. They're mostly I've met a few that weren't. But they're mostly very, very full of themselves, surrounded by people who say, yes, sir, 3 bags full, sir. Once in a while, somebody crosses their path, like a senior sergeant, sergeant major of the Army, something to actually tell them the truth. So by the time they get to be a four-star general, all they want to hear is, yes, sir, 3 bags full. And it's very tough when you're in a room with one of them, and somebody comes over to you and says, I didn't really like the paper that you put out yesterday. You are in deep, deep trouble.
We'll take more from Scott Dick after the break here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. The life expectancy figures for 2005 are just now released. Why it takes so long to get the numbers together and calculate life expectancy in this digital age is hard to understand. But now that we have it, there is good news in it.
Americans are living longer than they have ever before.
Specifically?
Life expectancy at birth has reached a new record high of 77.9 years for the total population.
But the bad news is that the people in at least 40 other countries in this world have longer life expectancy. More after this.
So, I'm driving downtown in my Buick, and I pass by this girl. She's got on those really big sunglasses all the celebs wear. So I'm thinking, someday, she's gonna regret looking like a bug. Real style is never just a flavor of the month. It's gotta last. Like my Buick. It looks and drives beautifully. And years from now, you can bet it won't be out of style. Especially because I take such good care of it by taking it to the professionals at my Buick dealer. Down the Good Wrench service lane.
Can't stop thinking about it.
The other day, I asked for an oil change, for a tire rotation, and Good Wrench multi-point vehicle inspection, performed by a GM-trained expert. So it's Good Wrench and Go to help keep my Buick running as great as it looks. And that's a picture I won't regret.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Fall is a great time to Good Wrench and Go for all your maintenance needs. See your local Buick Good Wrench dealer today or log on to goodwrench.com.
If you want to live a long life, the place to be born is Andorra, a tiny country in the Pyrenees between France and Spain. A baby born there is expected to live to be 83 and a half. If you don't want to live in such a tiny country, Japan has the second highest life expectancy. As for why our life expectancy is longer now, or rather was in 2005, is that the secret of staying alive is not to die. And the things that have been killing us most are declining, says Donna Hoyer, the health scientist at the National Center for Health Statistics.
Heart disease, cancer, and stroke are continuing their decreasing trends in mortality.
And why is that?
Heart disease, cancer, and stroke account for the largest volume of deaths. And so when there's decreasing mortality trends for those three, then they are reflected in life expectancy.
There were 5% increases, however, in rates for Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease here. White babies in this country can still be expected to live longer than black babies.
Life expectancy for whites was 78.3 in 2005, and for black population, 73.2 years.
And baby girls in this country are still expected to live longer than baby boys.
The difference in life expectancy between male and female population is 5.2 years.
But the longer you live, the longer you live, which is to say the older you are today, the older you're likely to be when you die. The Osgood File, Charles Osgood.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues.
Warning sign on
34 minutes after the hour. You can join us toll free at 888-5 Peter B 888-573-8372. Scott, I want to take us back a little bit here in the Wayback Machine, all the way back to, say, December of 2005. And I don't know if you recall, but at the time, there were a lot of allegations surfacing in Europe that the U.S. was overflying European airspace to take detainees on these rendition plane rides from, say, wherever they were captured, to Pakistan or Algeria or Egypt, those sorts of things.
Right.
And Condoleezza Rice, who had recently been promoted to Secretary of State because she did such a great job as the National Security Advisor, went on a tour of Europe. And I referred to it as the Ricepalooza torture tour, because every stop she denied that we torture, she denied that we had secret prisons, and she denied that we used extraordinary rendition. And at every stop, inconveniently, somebody would pop up and say, excuse me, I've been tortured. Excuse me, I was rendered. Excuse me, the Italians have indicted 20-plus American officials, including CIA officers, for snatching a sheikh off the streets of Milan and dispatching him to Cairo. And this is kind of an example of what I see going on right now as the Bush administration tries to control the message and tries to hammer away that we're winning in Iraq, the surge has been successful, so successful that we can bring some troops home. And this, of course, flies in the face of reality as news developments inconveniently conflict with the rosy scenario that's being presented. So, the case in point now, we saw the photo op as Bush took Rice and Gates and all the other top dogs to the air base in Anbar province to declare that this is the new paradigm for pacifying Iraq. Well, today, a key Sunni sheikh, Sheikh Abdul Sattar Abu Risha, and a couple of his bodyguards were killed in a car bomb attack. And Abu Risha was head of the Anbar Salvation Council, also known as the Anbar Awakening, a coalition of tribes that's been working with the U.S. to counter, quote, Al-Qaeda in Sunni-dominated Anbar province. And again, getting back to our assessment that Petraeus, Bush et al. Are exaggerating hugely the influence of Al-Qaeda in Iraq today, this is another example of where this is being reported by CNN as that as Al-Qaeda is responsible for this killing. But it can go much deeper than that. We have Shia on Sunni attacks. We have Sunni on Sunni attacks. And that's occurring just in Anbar. There are Shia-Shia attacks in other parts of the country and also attacks by both of those groups on the Kurds in certain areas as well. So what do you make of this assassination of the sheikh that was reported here?
Well, these are all words that somebody picked for a reason. These kind of words just aren't selected out of thin air. If you said on the death of the sheikh, that would make sense to me. He was killed in an explosion, either a landmine or an improvised exploded device. Why would they pick, and you did too, Peter, you slipped up and said it was an attack. An attack is passive. These IEDs, I just want to make this clear, are the attack. The word attack is an active word. Rolling over a landmine, even if it's a big one, is a passive act.
Mm-hmm.
And the target is whomever rolls over it. So I heard on the radio that he was attacked. That means he was singled out for assassination, which by implication means intentionally.
Yeah.
You know, this could have been a friendly fire incident on their side. This could have been a Sunni bomb waiting for an American military convoy, and he, just happened to come along and got exploded.
Well, you make some very good points, and I'm seated, so I won't stand corrected, but I'm seated corrected. I simply read the language here from the CNN report that I pulled off the Internet.
Right, so
but,
what it makes...
But by parsing the language, you're doing a very important process there, because there is a lot of loaded language in this CNN report.
And, of course, if you strip out the language and say that a Saudi sheikh who happened to... Freudian. A Sunni sheikh who cooperated with the United States died in an improvised explosive device explosion, see where that takes away from the Al-Qaeda in Iraq being a big threat and a global war on terror? That bomb very well could have been set for American troops operating in that area. And it just happened to go off under him.
These are not high-tech objects. There's not some command center in a bunker someplace with an Al-Qaeda guy going, look, here they come, Joe. Push the button. This is a bunch of guys rolling along, and there's a cell phone there. It's in a hole. A cell phone. My cell phone doesn't work half the time when it's sitting on the dash of my car. Boom! And whoever happened to be there is the one who's killed.
Scott,
so to call this an assassination, an attack, is it's not classified report, because then they'd be giving away classified information. And how did they get this information out so quick? Oh, it's Al-Qaeda, of course. But we already killed every Al-Qaeda member in Iraq, Peter.
Four times.
So this is all part of the mainstream, this gutless mainstream media that's being beat up rightly by the left and the right for being so lame. The GOP attack dogs went after the MoveOn.org ad. I read it. They stand by it. I read it and thought, okay, the guy's a four-star general. He makes $209,313.81 a year, tax-free as long as he's in Iraq. He's got the broad shoulders of four stars. You know, he's going to take some heat. This is very, very representative of Westmoreland, who said in his autobiography, I thought I was helping the country by lying to the American people and saying we could win this war in Vietnam.
Well, I think the MoveOn ad was strong, but I think it was warranted. And I also think that that the conservatives, Duncan Hunter was the point man this time, will always take some message that's coming, a critical message of the war, and use it for political advantage. And that's what they did here. And in a narrow, at least, based on my perceptions to date, I think that Hunter got a little bit more mileage out of it than MoveOn.org did.
Well, the thing is, Peter, it's all about right-wing political correctness. They have their own form. They're always talking. When they want to call somebody a slur or, a woman, they want to abuse ethnic groups or minorities or women. What stops them? They say political correctness. When we want to talk about the lying and the cronyism and the criminality of the Bush administration, it's not allowed.
Well, in fact, you're right on target there. I accidentally heard part of the Sean Hannity radio show earlier this week.
Bless you.
And you know what I am for questioning the spin statements of General Petraeus? I'm a snot-nosed liberal.
Interesting. I'll send you a box of Kleenex. That affects me like I'm sure the MoveOn ad affects General Petraeus. He's a big boy.
Yeah.
He's been doing this a long time. And you know how long he's been doing this, Peter?
How long?
He has more time, and folks, military vets out there, listen to this. He has more time as an aide-de-camp and as assistant aide to the executive assistant to the chief of general, the joint chiefs, and the army chief of staff. He has more time doing that, fellas, than he does working with troops. In other words, he was working at that level as an aide in D.C. I correct myself. He has 9 years of troop service. That's up to lieutenant colonel, and 8 years working with generals, working for generals. So he has had a lot of training being around generals. So if he can't take a little little hit now and then from an organization like MoveOn.org, he shouldn't be in Baghdad.
Now, how did General Petraeus jump from two stars to four stars?
Well, he didn't. He spent a year and a half as a three-star, and I just want to explain this. This is kind of complicated for some people to understand. The one-star and two-star ranks across all four services, and I'm sure the Coast Guard and the Public Health Service and all that stuff, if they have four-star ranks, are one-star and two-star are picked by a committee of other generals. And the legend in the military is that any general can block the promotion of any colonel to general, anybody who's on that board. So it's a very closed-minded school. It's like the Council of Cardinals picking the Pope.
It's a fraternity.
Yeah. So once you make it to two-star, you're pretty much set. And you can spend 3 years and then retire as a two-star. The three-star jobs and the four-star jobs, those promotions that go with them, in other words, you just don't get randomly picked for three-star because you have time and grade. You have to fill a job. In other words, it has to be a CENTCOM job, or a three-star billet at D.C. or out on the East Coast or one of the big bases, a corps commander, to get a three-star. You serve in that job. And when you leave that job, you go back to your two-star rank. It takes an act of Congress to allow you to retire with a three-star. Same with a four-star. If you go home from a four-star job and you're not allowed by the Senate to retire as a four-star,
you go revert and retire as a two-star.
Oh, okay.
So I want to make that clear, that you can't stall, keep a guy in his job, for, like a lieutenant general, for 3 years, and he can retire as a three-star. It has to be approved. So anybody on the Senate can say, and they've done this before, Peter, said, guess what, ex-commander Walter Reed, you're not retiring as a three-star.
Right.
We're
going to
dock you $6,000 a month or something. My heart's...
Oh, your empathy's just oozing all over the place, Scott.
I'll get a puddle. At the break, I'll clean up the puddle under me.
Let's take a call. It's Frank and Marina. Welcome, Frank. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's a privilege to talk to two great men.
Thanks, Frank.
I compliment you both.
Well, thank you.
And, Peter, I listened to a little bit in the car when you were on Suburb for Tom Hartman today. I guess I caught the last hour.
Uh-huh.
And I'm glad you got nationwide coverage, because you deserve it.
Well, thank you. It was a lot of fun, and I'm ready and rested and willing next time somebody offers me national distribution.
Oh, they will. Hey, listen, two historical things, and I want to comment on Ray McGovern and then those weapons, those nuclear warheads last week.
Yeah, good.
Getting back to...
A little louder, Frank.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
On Ray McGovern's article on Common Dreams,
right,
several days ago,
mm-hmm,
during the Petraeus testimonies.
Right. He told the story on our program, too.
Right. Oh, I didn't hear that. I was...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, anyway, for the people that didn't, Westmore... Okay, Scott, Peter, and all the listeners, in the spring of 1967, remember the year now, Westmoreland, I was in the infantry in Vietnam, 1st Cav, Westmoreland and his aide-de-camp came down to our LZ before we went on a search-and-destroy mission and said, the war is going very well. We should have this thing wrapped up in about 6 months.
Hmm.
We're all looking at each other, nodding our heads. We're sitting there sweating with the camouflage on our face. And he said, the Arvins, which are the South Vietnamese army.
The regular army, yeah.
Regular army,
mm-hmm,
are doing a fine job. And unfortunately for us, sometimes we had to run joint operations with them. And these guys didn't want to fight. I had more respect for the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese Army.
Mm-hmm.
Frank, let me jump in here for a second.
Go ahead.
Did he ride up to your LZ in his chauffeur Cadillac limo?
No, helicopter.
Oh, okay. Just wondered.
Yeah.
He was a man of the troop.
I don't remember the aide-de-camp, but he received the Medal of Honor for... He was with the 101st at the time, the captain at... called a napalm strike on his position when they were being overrun
up
in the Central Highlands.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
So Westmoreland told you 6 more months in the spring of 1967.
And I swear that's the truth. And we're all looking at each other, you know. Hmm. So that's one thing. Now, as far as patriotism and who was it, Peter O'Reilly?
Who, Bill O'Reilly?
Yeah, making comments about you or anybody else.
Oh, no, it was Sean Hannity who referred to people like me as snot-nosed liberals. Yeah.
In 1940, here's a little, I'm a history buff. In 1944, in a little cafe somewhere in Germany, Wernher von Braun and another scientist were having coffee discussing the war. They said, it's not going too good. I don't think we're going to win. At another table, a female Gestapo agent overheard the conversation, and because they put the bad mouth on the Reichsfuhrer and the war situation, she dropped a dime, made the phone call, and before you know it, here was the car with the Gestapo in it. They actually had von Braun in jail for, it was either a few days or a week, me and the other scientist.
Mm-hmm.
And the controller general that worked on a project with him, you know, with the V-1 and V-2 rockets intervening with his credentials and everything, you know, got him out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even a guy like that, the father of the rocket ship, If he just questioned what was going on, they considered him unpatriotic.
Yeah. Hey, Frank, I know you have another point. Hang on through the break, and we'll get right back to you. Scott Dix, stay with us. We'll continue in a moment. 888-5, Peter B., if you'd like to join the conversation, there's still time for your call. 888-573-8372, the Peter B. Collins Show. Got it?
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services.
In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Join us this fall as KRXA 540 brings you the high school football game of the week. Follow the race for the championship of the Monterey Bay, Tri-County, and Mission Trail High School Athletic League. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
This Friday night's live broadcast has Half Moon Bay getting on the bus and traveling to meet the Monterey Toreadors, with a kickoff time of 7:30.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
All right, everybody, time to take a look at traffic. We got a little bit going on right now. We're going to start off with a problem in King City, Highway 198 at 25. Told you about an injury crash in our last report. Still working that situation, at least emergency crews are. It's a motorcyclist that went off the roadway, landed into a ditch. The looks like a person is lying in the roadway. And so, obviously, fire department crews transferring that person to a hospital, as you might imagine. Delays reported in Salinas, West Market Street. You can expect delays on Market Street at the intersection of Salinas and Monterey. New street closures and detours are in effect. This is a road work going on until early October. Detours are in effect for trucks going southbound and Market. Checking northbound and southbound Highway 1 between Monterey and Salinas. No major stalls or actually no problems to report, which is great news. This report brought to you by JCPenney's.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you found us 8 minutes in front of the hour. Scott Dick is our guest, contributor on military and veterans issues. And one more blast from Frank in Marina. Frank, you wanted to ask about those nuclear missiles that were transported across the country?
Okay, first, when you were in vacation, Peter, last month, the press had reported there were, 190,000 weapons missing, unaccountable in Iraq.
Yes, small arms. They just
Iraqi army.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing. That should have been on the mainstream media 24 hours a day.
Nah.
No.
The $9 billion they lost, the Ministry of Defense stole. Or the $6 billion for the dismantling of the military, the Iraqi army. Nah. Why is that important?
And then these. Now, if this is true, Scott and Peter, if these warheads on that flight from North Dakota to Louisiana is true, we're in deep trouble.
Oh, it's true.
And you hardly, there was hardly any coverage that I know. I don't watch mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
I get my news on KRXA or the other station, Pacifica, and what I read. But
well, Frank, I need to move along for time purposes, but I just want to update people that we have looked. In fact, we were at Air Force Times just about an hour ago. And, Scott, I have not been able to find any substantiation of reports that have been circulating on the Internet that the Air Force is imposing a stand-down on Friday, September 14th, as a result of this incident regarding the nuclear missiles being transferred from North Dakota to Louisiana.
That's why you have me, Peter. It was, in fact, ordered so.
Oh.
And a staff writer from the Air Force Times, Bruce Olson, reports that on September 14th, flight lines will be very quiet at Air Combat Command. The entire command, about 100,000 active duty airmen, is standing down training flights and other operations as part of a command-wide safety day. Command boss General Ronald Keyes ordered the September 14th safety stand-down in the wake of the August 30th nuclear incident at Minot Air Force Base. Now, this is what cracks me up, Peter. The six cruise missiles that were armed with a nuclear warhead were loaded onto the B-52H flown from Barksdale, then flown to Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana. Nobody on the ground or the bomber knew they had hot weapons on board. It wasn't until the B-52H was parked at Barksdale that ground crews discovered the cruise missiles were carrying real warheads.
Whoops.
That's one of those, shoot moments.
Yeah.
When a senior, it's probably a master sergeant, an Air Force master sergeant, you know, guy with ties to the Cold War, who stood there and looked at that for a long time and went, some red light was going off in his head, beep, 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 and then he realized, oh, my God, those are live.
As Homer Simpson might say, dope!
Yep. And so this is a safety stand-down. It's the first command-wide safety day in recent memory.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of times they've had safety stand-downs. Remember the Chinook that has a separate name in the Army? The Chinook helicopters kept crashing. They did a Chinook stand-down. That was Army Air Force. I think it was, I think it may have been the C-130, maybe 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But they really haven't done an entire command. And basically what happens is they have a morning worth of safety briefings, and everybody gets the rest of the day off. That's why they have them on Friday, Peter.
I see. So it'll be a dress-down day, too.
Exactly.
All right. Mike in Sacramento, welcome. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick.
Hi, you guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good, Mike.
Hey, I just wanted to ask you guys, it seems to me that the last time that I can remember a really slick, brown-nosing, sycophant general mincing around in uniform claiming that he wanted to be president was a guy by the name of Alexander Haig.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Colin Powell.
Well, no. At least he waited, I guess, until he was out of uniform before he started making committee noises.
Right. Al Haig.
Being president.
Al Haig was one beautiful piece of work.
And he was in command.
Yeah, he was in charge. When Reagan was the assassination attempt by Hinckley, they said, they went to the White House, and Al Haig announced that he was in charge, and then somebody had to tell him, no, there's still a vice president.
Yeah, and then the other thing I wanted to ask you guys is, do you think that Bush is really delusional enough to attack Iran?
I keep hoping not, but the drumbeat keeps getting a little bit louder. So
Peter, I have to interrupt.
Concerned. Go ahead,
not,
Scott.
It's not delusional. They're surrounded. These guys are surrounded by yes men, yes sir, three bags full, can do, we can do it. And until we get some generals resigning and some senior political guys leaving the administration, say this guy's a nutcase, then who knows? We very well could, as the vice president wants us to do, attack Iran before Bush leaves office. And then it'll be somebody's mess to clean up, but, you know, by then Cheney will have his 27th heart attack or whatever.
All right. Well, let me close out today with this quote and see if you can figure out who it's by, Scott. Well, I think we have to be aware. We're spending an enormous amount of money on Homeland Security, and I think we should spend whatever it takes. But I think we have to be careful that we don't get so caught up in trying to throw money at the terrorist and counter-terrorist problem that we are essentially creating an industry that will only exist as long as you keep the terrorist threat pumped up. And so that would be the context of that comment, and I feel strongly about it.
Dang, you got me.
Colin Powell.
Wow. Well, you know that we used to produce in the 80s a thing called a CIA assessment of the Soviet Union.
Oh, I remember that dog and pony show.
Remember?
Pre-PowerPoint, yeah.
And it was in a hardbound book, practically. And it was about, after the Cold War ended, it was always about, inflated about 40 to 60% over what those, remember the Russians were 10 feet tall at one time, too.
Oh, yeah, huge.
And that was the only way we could get the funding is by pimping that book all around Congress and all around the U.S. and playing to the fear base that if we didn't do something and keep our defense spending up, that we're going to be overrun by the Russian horde.
Yeah. Scott, thank you very much. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
You're welcome, Peter. Anytime.
Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to take a break and return with a free speech hour. Melanie Sloan will kick it off. We'll talk about David Vitter's hookers. Isn't that exciting? Thanks for listening today to the Peter B. Collins Show, live in Sacramento for Christine Kraft.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars.
make money as well. You'll see when you go to yoursolarfuture.com.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. The president will address the nation in an hour and outline when some of the surge troops will be coming home. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller joins us live from the White House. Mark, what can we expect?
Cammie, the president will make the case that enough progress has been made in Iraq to start withdrawing some U.S. forces and not replace them. 2,200 Marines will leave Anbar province this month, and 3,500 Army soldiers will be out by Christmas. He'll say even more may be pulled out during the first half of next year. Even so, some 130,000 troops will remain pursuing his mission to prevail in Iraq.
And what about the Sunni sheikh the president met recently during his trip to Anbar, who was assassinated today? Will Mr. Bush talk about him?
We'll hear a tribute to the sheikh, hailing his courage as one of the first Sunni leaders in Anbar province to join with U.S. forces to drive out al-Qaeda. Abdul Sattar was seen as an ally, and the White House condemned his assassination, calling it a reminder that the struggle in Iraq requires continued perseverance, a commitment President Bush will renew tonight. Cammie.
CBS News correspondent Mark Noller live at the White House.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. Democrats are making clear they don't think the president is changing anything at all with his speech tonight and don't give much credence to the proposal to reduce troops by next summer by the same amount they were increased by this spring. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the president should say how he's going to pay for what she calls this endless war and how he can justify asking men and women in the military to keep risking their lives.
The cost of using ATMs is on the rise.
If you use a Bank of America ATM but don't have an account there, you'll soon pay $3 instead of $2 for a withdrawal. Why?
We make a significant investment in the ongoing development and operation of our ATM network.
Bank of America's Betty Reese at the U.S. Public Interest Research Group, Ed Merzwinski, says the largest banks charge the most.
You've got to protect yourself by carrying enough money, joining a credit union, and avoiding these fee-gouging banks.
Bank America is not raising its fees at non-bank locations, including malls and airports. John Harchi, CBS News, Washington.
The United Auto Workers still at the negotiating table with the big three automakers, but it's also chosen GM as a potential strike target should those talks fall apart.
GM is just doing better than the other two members. The companies really want to be picked as the target. So that allows them to have a little more say in what the pattern's going to end up being.
Peter Brown of Automotive News Magazine. Crude oil prices set a record today, finishing at more than $80 a barrel. Oil analyst John Kilduff says pain at the pump can only follow.
Those prices at the pump should begin to go up here in the coming weeks.
And on Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrials finished higher by 133 points at 13,424. The NASDAQ Composite Index was up just slightly. This is CBS News.
What's the most important number in your life? Social Security? Cell phone? It might just be your credit score. Your credit score can affect how much you pay on everything from a home, a car, even credit cards. That's why it's so important to stay on top of your credit at FreeCreditReport.com. The higher your credit score, the better chance you have of saving money. Log on to FreeCreditReport.com and find out how you can get your free credit score and report. FreeCreditReport.com. That's FreeCreditReport.com. Offer applies with enrollment and triple advantage.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Don't you have enough stress in your life? Then why do you keep letting your vacuum cleaner torture you? Try an incredibly light, amazingly powerful Orrick XL, risk-free for 30 days. It's hard on dirt and easy on you, and you'll be done in a fraction of the time it takes to use one of those big clunkers. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200. Or click on to Orrick.com. Now, how easy was that?
Accused of attacking a romantic rival for another astronaut, Lisa Nowak's trial is now on hold. CBS News correspondent Peter King has the latest.
After Lisa Nowak's attorney announced plans to use a temporary insanity defense, the prosecution asked for more time to prepare its case. So now the trial will likely slip to sometime next year. Meantime, the Navy has ordered Nowak to stay out of Florida, except for trial-related business or to carry out military orders. She's still on active duty there. The Navy order also keeps her away from her alleged victim and the ex-astronaut that both women were involved with, duplicating the court's conditions of her release last February. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
He was trying to sneak into a concert, but when he tried climbing a 12-foot wrought iron fence, police in York, Pennsylvania say the man slipped and fell into one of the spikes. He was impaled through his thigh. Rescuers had to cut away part of the fence to free him. I'm Tammy McCormick, CBS News.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Do you know that Office Depot rewards you for shopping? Sign up now for the new Office Depot WorkLife Rewards Program. It's bigger, better, and more rewarding than ever. Now you get 10% back on ink, toner, paper, design, print, and ship purchases. Plus, 1% back on nearly everything else you buy. It's free, and there's no limit to the amount of rewards you can earn. Rewards are given as an Office Depot reward card when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Certain restrictions apply. Excludes HP ink and toner. Go to myworkliferewards.com for details.
When you were a kid, wishing upon a star was a cute idea. But unless I'm completely in the dark here, you're not a kid anymore. Though you still got dreams, don't you? You got a plan to get them up and running, or are you just keeping your fingers crossed? Maybe it's time for a wake-up call.
Dream Plan Track from Ameriprise Financial. Financial planning redefined. Visit us at Ameriprise.com/dream.
Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime, toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We are rolling into the free speed zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. I want to dedicate this tune to Senator David Vitter of Louisiana and his latest bimbo eruption.
This is a man. This is a man. But it wouldn't be nothing.
Oh, nothing. He died last Christmas. I sure miss the godfather of soul, the hardest working man in show business, James Brown. And one of the hardest working people in Washington, D.C. is Melanie Sloan. She is the executive director of CREW. That stands for Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And she's just been busier than, you fill in the blank there in the metaphor. Melanie, welcome to our program today.
Peter, thanks for having me.
Anything new in the David Vitter case? Is there a new prostitute who has surfaced to say that she serviced him?
Well, in fact, she's not really new. Her name is Wendy Cortez, and she had appeared a while back, and David Vitter had denied that he'd had this relationship with her. But then she met up with Larry Flint, the publisher of Hustler, who is also big on exposing hypocrisy in Washington and has done it for years.
Yeah.
And he had her undertake a lie detector test and did a little research. And apparently Ms. Cortez said that she had a several-month relationship with David Vitter, which ended really only when she told him that her real name was Wendy, which just so happens to be his wife's name as well.
I hadn't heard that detail.
Yeah, that was just a little much too much reality, I guess, for David Vitter. Mm-hmm. But it just goes to show you that, there's another madam in Louisiana, what they call the Canal Street madam,
mm-hmm.
who has said that David Vitter was a client of hers, and we have the D.C. madam. So now we have at least three known instances of David Vitter visiting prostitutes, soliciting prostitutes, and yet Not surprisingly, perhaps, the Republicans in the Senate have nothing to say about David Vitter, have plenty to say and are happy to keep talking about how Larry Craig needs to leave the Senate right away, but they are ignoring all of David Vitter's indiscretions, which really is probably stupid on their part, because a man who has at least three experiences with prostitutes in his background isn't really all that likely to be giving it up anytime soon.
One of the things I'll mention is that, particularly on the Hardball show on MSNBC, whenever they cover Vitter and they refer to the D.C. madam, they have B-roll of her walking down the street or going to a microphone or whatever, and they use that with the implication that she was a prostitute. And she didn't actually do that. She was just a pimp.
That's right.
Who handled the orders and the delivery of the girls.
That's exactly right, and the Canal Street madam as well was also the one who was engaged in the delivery. It is also, you know, important to note that the D.C. madam is being charged with racketeering under the RICO statute. She's looking at going to jail for 10 years or more. And in contrast, there's not a single John who used her services who's being prosecuted in any way.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And that's why she went through this elaborate process of releasing the phone numbers to the media so then they could dig in. And that ultimately is what exposed David Vitter.
That's right. And And there are people who are apparently going through those phone records, you know, as we speak, trying to dig up more. Now, that said, her criminal case is looking, you know, stranger every day. She is now trying to issue a subpoena to the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Patrick Leahy, to try and say you can't trust the Justice Department, to have him testify about how you can't trust the Justice Department. So, you know, that's probably not a winning legal strategy, is my guess, and I think Senator Leahy will be able to quash that subpoena. But her lawyers seem to be willing to try anything. They've also subpoenaed a New York gossip columnist, Cindy Adams, among others. So that's going to be quite a media circus, that trial.
Well, and as we've discussed previously, one of the issues here is that Senator Craig of Idaho, if he does in fact follow through on his threat to resign, would be replaced by a Republican governor who is very likely to appoint a Republican, therefore not shifting or threatening the balance in the United States Senate. But with Senator Vitter from Louisiana, where we have a Democratic governor, and to my knowledge, there is no restriction on her ability to appoint a Democrat or anyone she chooses to replace Vitter, that could be a critical blow to the Republicans who are in the minority now but don't want to slip any further.
That's right, and there are so many things that are threatening their they are going to slip further into the minority, as it appears every day. Not only is the Craig scandal hurting them, but there's also the Ted Stevens scandal hurting them. Ted Stevens being a senator from Alaska who in July had his house searched by the FBI and is under investigation in a big bribery investigation. Also, Senator Pete Domenici from New Mexico is under investigation by the Senate Ethics Committee for improperly attempting to pressure the New Mexico U.S. Attorney David Iglesias to bring charges against Democrats before the last election.
Mm-hmm.
So the Senate Republicans are certainly having lots of problems. And then, as I'm sure all your listeners know, Senator John Warner announced his retirement, and now Mark Warner, the former governor of Virginia, who's a very popular Democrat in the state, is running for that seat. And the Republicans are in a bit of a disarray, so things aren't really looking great for the Republicans. So they're going to just hold their noses and stick with David Vitter until they can't anymore. But as I said, it's a risky strategy. David Vitter is, I guarantee, going to come back to haunt them.
And I've heard these reports. I clearly was not present, but when David Vitter returned after laying low because of the disclosures of the D.C. madam from Vallejo, I understand he went into a Republican Senate caucus meeting and received a rousing ovation.
Oh, a standing ovation. It was, in fact, a standing ovation. So you got to wonder how come a guy gets a standing ovation once he admits to soliciting prostitutes, and Larry Craig is pounded out of the Senate for disorderly conduct. And, you know, I'm not excusing Larry Craig's conduct, but I have to say it must be pretty tough to be him, know that you've been the, you know, most conservative, most loyal Republican for the past 20 years, and then your colleagues cannot wait to throw you under the bus.
Well, and Larry didn't get any.
That's right. And you also have to realize that what he was attempting, you know, as much as, you know, I don't think sex in bathrooms, in public bathrooms, is a great idea, he was looking for consensual sex.
Yeah.
It wasn't, in fact, a crime.
Right. Yeah, I think the contrasts are stunning, And it'll be very interesting to see how all this plays out. Now, you mentioned Senator Leahy and some of the other investigations, the Domenici U.S. Attorney case. Is it true that Leahy is pulling back and is not going to pursue the White House on contempt of Congress, is not going to pursue the emails issue, Karl Rove, with hundreds of thousands of missing emails, that many of which were on non-governmental servers, which you pointed out is a violation of the Presidential Records Act?
You know, this is something we're very concerned about over at CRU, but it does seem like now that Attorney General Gonzalez is resigning, and happily I can report that he's now under investigation for potentially criminal conduct in lying to Congress, it does seem like both Senate and House judiciaries are expressing a much lower level of interest in pursuing so much of what was going on at the Justice Department, including the emails and, you know, the... And I'm not exactly sure of what Senator Leahy is planning, but right now there doesn't seem to be any effort to take the next step to pass the contempt charges and certify them over to the U.S. Attorney's Office.
I'm really disappointed by that. I simply think it should all play out and, you know, let the chips fall where they may.
I think that's exactly right. The fact is the American people have the right to know what really happened in the Department of Justice, and the Bush administration shouldn't be able to just shut down the investigation by finally getting rid of their criminal U.S. criminal attorney general.
Mm-hmm. Now, turning to another issue, this week, CRU filed some information with the Department of Education's Inspector General regarding presidential brother Neil Bush. Now, Neil's been kind of laying low. He helped ease about a $1.6 billion loss out of the Silverado savings and loan scandal back in the 1980s. And then he went into the educational software business. And the last we heard, his mom was trying to insist that people in New Orleans who received government support would get some of that in the form of this learning software that I guess she was proposing the government purchase and give to the victims of Hurricane Katrina.
Right, because they didn't need things more than projectors that plugged in when they didn't have actually any electricity.
Yeah.
But that's what Neil Bush is selling. These are projectors, and they're called the COWS, C-O-W-S, and they are, you know, even have a little cow print around them, and they're allegedly supposed to teach math and social studies and science curriculums. It's called the Curriculum on Wheels is why they're COWS. And they're not really supposed to be very good. And Neil Bush, you have to remember, has absolutely no background in education, but was barred from the banking business for life after the savings and loan debacle. So he goes into the education business just at the same time that President Bush pushes the No Child Left Behind Act. Now, one of the things about the No Child Left Behind Act is it is supposed to say, or one of the things it does say is that only curriculum that is scientifically proven to work can be purchased with NCLB funds. And it turns out that the COWS have no such scientific data supporting them. They're not proven effective in any way, shape, or form, and yet NCLB funds to the tune of about $1 million so far have been spent on these. And sometimes each of these projectors costs $3,800, and they cost $1,000 a year to maintain. For some school districts, a particular classroom's entire budget on its science curriculum can be $1,000. So mm-hmm. Here you're going just this money just to maintain these products that don't work. And we want to know why NCLB funds are allowed to be spent on a program that's not proven effective when the statute says you can't do that.
I think I know.
You think you do, huh?
We've got to keep the cows happy.
Well, and sadly, you know, this isn't even the only time. We've talked before about something called the Reading First program,
right,
which is a program that provides reading textbooks to underprivileged kids, and you're only, again, supposed to be using scientifically proven reading textbooks, and yet these textbooks that are being supplied by a Bush pioneer are being purchased, and these are textbooks that are shown not to work. So here it is, NCLB funds really seem to be about keeping Bush's cronies in the money, really, rather than teaching underprivileged kids how to learn.
Well, and the child who is not being left behind is Neil Bush.
That's right. That's exactly right. And so we've asked the Inspector General of the Education Department to do an audit and see why NCLB funds can be spent this way. we did our own investigation where we submitted what are similar to Freedom of Information Act requests to Texas and Florida, got all the information from the state showing that they were spending tons of money on these programs despite knowledge that they didn't work.
Mm-hmm. Well, my prediction is the Department of Education will contract this out to Armstrong Williams, and he'll have a definitive report out in maybe December of 2012.
Yeah, that's probably be about right.
Melanie.
The Inspector General of the Department of Education has been very critical of the Reading First program, for example, so we are, you know, somewhat hopeful that he might come out.
All right. Keep us posted on the antics of Neil Bush and the rest of the family.
Will do.
Melanie Sloan, thanks for joining us. Visit the website citizensforethics.org. It's the Free Speech Zone next. Your calls and comments welcome. Grab a line now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. And we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interests, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Hey everybody, let's take a look at traffic on this Thursday evening, and we've got a problem in Scotts Valley right now, southbound 17, right at Sugarloaf. Believe it or not, it is a big rig, and it is blocking the right lane. Traffic slowing down, backing up, and CHP on the way to the scene there. So vehicles are having to slow down and then, of course, swerve around the or get around that big rig. And then we're looking at Salinas, northbound 101 at Airport Boulevard. It is a fender bender there. A produce truck lost a wheel in the center divide. No problems on northbound or southbound Highway 1 between Monterey and Salinas. Let's take a look at Carmel, I should say. This report brought to you by JCPenney. The men's store inside JCPenney is your Dockers headquarters. Get the best selection and great deals on Dockers pants and sports shirts. JCPenney's everyday matters. That's traffic on KRXA.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're on time and we're under budget. And that's because we don't have a budget. It's the free speech zone for the rest of this hour. Give me a call. Let me know what's on your mind. Toll free, 888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B if you prefer it. And you can always email me. I appreciate your emailed remarks. Peter@PeterBCollins.com. Humblehost@PeterBCollins.com. BigMouth@PeterBCollins.com. I respond to all of those. And for our listeners in Sacramento on Talk City 1240 KSAC, I'm sitting in for Christine Kraft. We'll do it again next week as she remains on vacation. And I got word from an active listener that the Veronica Salcedo trial that Christine has been providing daily coverage on is in a break right now that is expected to last for another 2 weeks. So no new developments in the trial of Veronica Salcedo, to my knowledge. And let's go to Brian in Manchester, New Hampshire. Welcome back, Brian. Haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, well, sorry, I didn't get into call before. I've been a little bit busy, but
let me ask you something before you get to your point. Is Casper there?
Oh yeah, oh, he's always by my side. He's my guard dog even.
Well, just to help you with the visual image, I am foster caring my brother's dog Sumi, and she's here with me during the show every day. So I just want you to know we've got that canine solidarity.
Oh, that's right. That's dog is my co-pilot. Is one of my bumper stickers on the car.
All right, what's on your mind today?
Okay, yeah, you know that the news just came out that pro-American sheik was just killed there in Anbar province, and he actually was somebody who met personally with President Bush on his September 3rd visit to that air base in Anbar province.
Mm-hmm.
Sheikh Abu Rishah, all the other stories I've seen on the major news media are saying they paid him $75 million to make him our ally, and that's maybe the best they can do in Anbar province there, a heavily Sunni province. But the thing is, I've got one story here from Rob Calls opednews.com is saying assassination of Sunni Sheikh, ally against Al-Qaeda, reveals charade Petraeus fronted to Congress.
Well, there are a couple of things here that maybe we'll be able to sift through in the next two or three news cycles.
Yeah.
But number one, as Scott Dick pointed out on this program last hour, CNN is portraying this as an assassination, and they ran over a roadside bomb. Now, that could have been intentional. Maybe, you know, it had his name on it, and there was somebody behind a tree just waiting for the sheikh to drive by and blow that up. But
they
don't know.
They did try to kill him in February, and a close associate of his they killed in June.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, but still, the term assassinated is yet to be proved. He was killed. We know that.
That's a war zone. People can sometimes, the unintended, innocent people can run over an IED and that kind of thing in a war zone like that. But Rob Call's story here, he's going by, they have good sources apparently that say that this guy really was a solid ally, but there's other things saying other people saying he's a con man, that he wanted a construction or a phony construction contracts, and that's why we finally paid him off, General Petraeus did, with the $75 million for his little group there.
Well, we still have a lot to learn here, but the fundamentals are clear, Brian, and that is that whatever peace there is in Anbar has been bought and paid for with American taxpayer dollars,
it
will only hold as long as the blackmail payments continue to be made.
Yeah.
And when we stop that, and Petraeus says we haven't armed these militias in Anbar, but, you know, the crunch is going to hit whenever the U.S. leaves, and the fallout between the Sunnis and the Shia will hit the fan. And so we are deluding ourselves to believe that, Bush is trying to delude us. Let me be honest. I don't think most Americans are deluded. But no. Bush is trying to, pull the wool over our eyes by pretending that Anbar is predictive of the other parts of the country. It's only 5% of the population. It's one of the few discrete Sunni areas, except those that have been created through ethnic cleansing. And that's the other...
The Sunnis have cleared out virtually all Shias in Anbar province.
Right.
They've...
And you want to call that progress? Well, Bush can. Thank you, Brian. I got to run to a break.
Thank you, sir.
More of your calls coming up next in the Free Speed Zone. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Be nice to Brian Urban. He's taking your calls today. And visit our website at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a bill of fare. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a bottle of delusion. Open at 7 every day. I'll have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Be sure to try the chow fun noodles with broccoli and hot and sour soup. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's Restaurant in Seaside and get a free order tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. That's 394-5117. Jim's is top for takeout and great for catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside, 394-5117.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmo Shell at Rio Road and Mid Carmo Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
This Sunday on Rock Roller Real Estate, hear Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Holdings, talk about the great state of Wyoming. Jim has a special announcement about a project he's working on in Wyoming that'll be a unique opportunity for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, now covering over 30 real estate markets. Check us out on the web at rockrollerrealestate.com or call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We are knee-deep in the free speech zone. All our lines are busy right now, so don't try to dial in. Oh, a line just opened up. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You know the rules, right? You can call about any subject from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Your call is subject to monitoring by the National Security Agency for political correctness and quality control. Theodora in Santa Cruz, thanks for calling the program. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter, and another good program as usual.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, I had some short comments to make on two or three of the things that were brought up in the last hour.
Go for it.
Yeah, you know, first on the Craig issue, your guest was wondering, you know, why Craig was being crucified and Vitters wasn't. And I think it really comes down to the simple fact that Vitters was willing to pay for it and Craig was looking for a free handout. Isn't that consistent with the Republican philosophy?
That's right.
That would explain it.
Yeah. You got me there.
I think I'm onto something. And I'm not usually one to leap to the defense of generals. I'm somebody who enjoys reading background material.
Mm-hmm.
And on General Haig, I do believe he got a bum rap. Because when Reagan was assassinated, people forget that Hinckley was the son of Vice President Bush's best friend.
Really?
You don't know that.
Remind me of that.
Hinckley was the guy that Hinckley's father was the guy who organized the prayer breakfast in the in the White House or in the Congress or wherever they had them for all the Christian legislative people. And it was his son who, was a throwaway kind of kid. It goes into more details than I'll go into, but Haig knew this at the time. I mean, this was a coup.
Uh-huh.
And Haig knew that. And when he stepped forward and said, I'm in charge, because he was with Reagan when the assassination attempt happened, and
right.
He was in the car when they were taking Reagan to the hospital,
mm-hmm.
that he took over. And the difference, he basically took over and made sure Reagan got to a hospital where he would not be finished off.
Mm-hmm.
And so in his defense, he was defending his leader, his country, and doing the right thing. Because that was the beginning of the Bush's full takeover.
Yeah. Well, Theodora, that's fascinating. I didn't know about that Hinckley family connection.
And that's not hard information to find.
Yeah. One other thing I will say is that we'll give Al Haig that moment.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
But
so he was
a pompous inside traitor who, tried to parlay his connections to Nixon forward into the Ford and Reagan administrations. And when he ran for president, must have been in 88, I remember him in his announcement speech, he said, something like, I'm a cold guy, but inside I've got a heart as big as all outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget that.
Well, it sounds like Cheney.
Yeah.
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 Well, as I said, I'm not a big defender of these guys, but there's a backstory that really explains a lot more of what, instead of laughing at them,
mm-hmm.
we really understand the seriousness, what was going down there, and we're still paying, it's still going on today.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And, and the other thing I want, about this stand-down order, I was really glad to see that brought up because I'd gotten an email that talked about, be very wary of anything that happens tomorrow because they're not just doing a stand down for the airplanes that could carry nuclear weapons. It's a stand down for all of the airplanes, and it's publicly announced, and it means we're in a very, very vulnerable situation, just like we were on 9/11. And I do believe 9/11 was an inside job, and I think they're getting us ready for another one.
Well, Theodora, I wish I could dismiss out of hand your concerns. But because we've been lied to so many times, we do have to be skeptical, suspicious, and quite wary. And so with that in mind, I hope our listeners are well informed, and we'll see what evolves. Thank you very much.
And I look forward to hearing you next week.
Okay. Now, that's a positive thinker. 38 minutes after the hour. And ladies and gentlemen, I feel a panic attack coming on. It's been ages since we've heard from our in-depth, undercover, low-budget investigative reporter, Tommy Panic, and he's on the line. Tommy, how are you?
Peter, I'm doing well. Yourself?
Well, it's been so long. Are you okay?
I am okay. By the way, Scott Hinckley, John Hinckley Jr.'s brother, and Neil Bush had a dinner appointment scheduled for the day following the assassination. So,
whoa.
Just to jump it in there. But, yes.
Everybody knows the Hinckley family history. Was there, like, a special on the History Channel and I missed it?
Just go Wikipedia.
Yeah?
Yeah, or all you right. Could do a little, you know, you know how to research, Peter.
Yes, I do.
But, you know, it's been a while since it's been a long time. I was at the Bush colonectomy since we last spoke. What a treat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I missed a lot of the Larry Craig fun, though.
Yeah?
I was in China.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. Fascinating place. I was investigating their claim that they can make it rain.
Uh-huh.
They plan to do this prior to the Olympics. Also looking into if there was any truth to the rumors they can create earthquakes. Did you hear about that one?
No.
There was that series of quakes today in Indonesia.
Yeah, I know about that.
Yeah, my guy at the USGS told me 7.8 right off of Sumatra was the most powerful one. Are the Chinese behind this? It cannot be denied. But, Peter, I'm in Washington, D.C., as you know, and I've spent the week employing various undercover techniques, including, since I missed out on the Larry Craig thing, a Larry Craig-type sting in various men's washrooms here in the Senate.
Now, wait a minute. You're loitering in the Senate?
Well,
men's...
I was.
Yeah.
Past tense now. I'll get to that shortly.
Oh.
But, you know, I almost wish that there was a little bit more to report. With everything that's gone down with Mark Foley and Larry Craig, everyone's got their guard up.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like it's a little like a bygone era. People are really looking over their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're trying to catch the next hypocrite in Washington, which could almost be a reality show. You know, it could be like The Running Man, where you catch the hypocrite, then you put him on the run. He's hunted wherever he goes.
Mm-hmm.
Would you watch that, Peter?
Well, maybe Last Hypocrite Standing.
That's pretty good. We should sit down with our TV people and hash this thing out.
But, oh, yeah.
Hey, I'm in town just trying to spot the fraud. Donkey, elephant, I don't care, but...
Mm-hmm.
We know it's most likely an elephant. So anyway, I do this little bathroom routine while attempting to keep some sense of decorum. No one wanted to play along. I was more or less denied and rejected except for one guy.
Really? Who's that?
Well, so to get to that, it's sort of funny, the build-up to it. He was so worried that I was a cop.
Mm-hmm.
Said he didn't want to be entrapped, that we could both get in a lot of trouble. And there was just a lot of back and forth, a lot of talk, and nothing actually happened. But... you know, who knows what that means, but we're talking about a certain minority leader from the state of Kentucky.
What?
Yeah, I mean, there's some rumors out there about this guy. You know, the guy married to a certain U.S. Secretary of Labor.
Oh, yeah.
Although I will say something about that Elaine Chao, I should say, that might make a man stray if not go gay. If only for a minute, just for a sec, in a public bathroom. I don't know. But yes, a certain Republican from Kentucky, who is that? Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
They call him Bush's bitch in the blogosphere. That's not me, Peter. That's the blogosphere. But,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, come to think of it, he was at the Karl Rove Independence Day barbecue and Speedo party.
Oh.
So, I tried to engage him, but he didn't respond. He was interested,
mm-hmm.
but I couldn't quite, you know, who knows? You can read into that any way you want. But, anyways, it's sort of an interesting line of work. But eventually they kind of caught on to me.
Mm-hmm.
I got tossed out of the building by security.
Yeah.
They said if I ever returned, I'd be sent to Cheney's personal torture chamber. And I do like Wyoming this time of year, as the leaves start to change. But this investigation is currently suspended. And honestly, Peter, it's likely terminated. But
yeah.
I'm going to say again, stay in town for the president's address of the nation on Friday. But... that's about all I got. Did I tell you, though, that Larry Flint was trying to employ me?
Really?
Yeah, and of course, I mean, he wants to bankroll me, but I like to keep my independent status. I don't want to be beholden to anyone.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't want to be, you know, in the throes of a golden wheelchair.
There's no need for that. But I did meet Debbie Jean Pelfrey, the D.C. madam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. But, you know, you get, yeah, you were talking about it earlier. David Vitter, it basically comes down to the fact if you bang a prostitute of the opposite sex and you don't lie about it, you're going to be just fine.
Yeah, right. I mean, he could have been a Jerry Springer and used his credit card to pay for it, and everything would have been fine.
Why not, Peter? But, hey, it's good to be back on the program.
Well, Tommy, it's great to hear from you. I was a little concerned that maybe Homeland Security got a hold of you and disappeared you. So
yeah, who knows? A little waterboarding.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad you're okay. Thanks for an excellent report.
Thank you.
Keep us in touch with whatever develops. All right. Tommy Panic, live from Washington, D.C., believe it or don't. Tim from Eureka, thanks for holding. You're next here in the Free Speech Zone on the PBC show.
Thanks, Peter. I'm live from Eureka, and it's great to have you back. I really enjoyed your subs, and especially Christine Kraft, who nailed Mitt Romney so well about his five strapping sons.
Mm-hmm.
Who were serving the American war effort better by driving around a van in Iowa trying to get their father elected president of the United States.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you enjoyed Christine, and I am returning the favor right now. We're on her show in Sacramento as she enjoys a vacation.
Great, yeah. I missed the first part of the show, but I had a doctor's appointment, so that's my excuse.
Okay.
It's not what
I'll need a note, Tim.
Yeah, okay, yeah. A quick comment on Larry Craig. I hope if he gets off that the 40 men...
Oh, what a choice of words. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
That's the thing. He didn't get off.
Right, right. But if he... Well, we'll see. Is he going to... Oh, that's right. He didn't. Poor guy.
He got trapped, yeah. But he didn't get off.
Yeah. Well, if he gets a chance to redo his paperwork, then I hope the 40 men who were stung by the exact same process...
Mm-hmm.
Before him, all get to redo their paperwork as well. Call me crazy, but I'm into equal justice under law. I know I'm old-fashioned.
I don't think that's so crazy. What I find crazy is Hendrik Hertzberg, Rick, to his friends, he writes for The New Yorker. He published a column and basically said that he thinks that Craig should fight this to the limit. And he's not a Craig supporter. He simply thinks on the narrow question that this is a pretty lame prosecution, and the fact that he pled guilty, I guess, Hertzberg wants to overlook. I do agree that this is a very minor crime, and it's really the way it's been handled by Senator Craig that has compounded his problems and made him vulnerable, and that's why I will not be unhappy if he departs. I would just like him to make up his mind and not really drag this out and pretend he's going to be able to survive.
Right, and a possible bumper music if the story comes up again would be the Hokey Pokey.
Huh?
You put your left foot in, you put your left foot
yeah.
in.
Yeah, I'll have to look for that one.
Yeah, but anyway, what I call about is, you know, I was with you for a long time, for many years on the draft, that, you know, we need a volunteer military.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that George Bush had destroyed not just the American military right now, but the concept of a volunteer draft. Because, you know, I try to listen to the right-wing nut jobs to try to keep my mind open, to try to figure out maybe I'm missing something.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't take it anymore. I can't take it. I just can't. I don't want to be in the same country with these people anymore. It's
yeah.
a fantasy, I know.
Well, I hear you, and I have mixed feelings because I do agree that if we had a draft, we would be spreading the pain of the war and occupation.
Exactly.
And that we would have students demonstrating on a daily basis, as I was when I was subject to the draft at the end of the Vietnam War. But having been through that experience, I can't wish it on anyone. So I'm a little conflicted on that. And you know what I did? I have volunteered. I signed up at a website, ss.gov, for selective service. And I have volunteered to serve on the draft board in my county if the draft is reinstated. That would be my way of coping with the unfairness of applying the draft in certain situations. And hopefully I'd be able to give some people relief if they came before my draft board and asked to be excused. But I understand your bottom line. And Charlie Rangel, the congressman from New York, has articulated this as well. The other thing that I've heard that I find palatable recently is that Democrats should propose that for every dollar Bush asks for supplementals in Iraq and Afghanistan, there should be a tax on the wealthiest Americans. And they can pay for Bush's war. Now, that's a way that would help equalize the impact and the responsibility and spread that pain just a little bit. Thanks for a great call. We'll return to your calls in just a moment. The switchboard's jammed, and so I won't give you the number right now because it would only frustrate you. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hey everybody, let's take a look at traffic. We're going to start off with a problem right now in we're going to talk about a problem in San Jose, but that's no longer the case. Well, Sonol Grade, northbound 684 Andrade, two-vehicle crash, center divide, Los Gatos, southbound 85 for Winchester, ladder blocking the right lane. Checking Highway 17, no problems to report there. Northbound and southbound Highway 1 between Monterey and Carmel. Really, traffic moving remarkably good at this point. Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at Emmeline. The off-ramp closed until the summer of 2008. Just a reminder for a road work. And in the city of Salinas, no major stalls or accidents to report there. The support brought to you by Flex Your Power, who reminds you that if every California household replaces five regular lights with CFLs, it'll be like taking 400,000 cars off the road.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes in front of the hour. Thanks for listening. Up and down the left coast and oozing inland to Sacramento now. More of your calls coming up in just a moment, but I received an alert this afternoon that I think is worthy to pass along to you. And Susan Lerner joins us from the campaign to get clean money into California politics and get the dirty money out. It's the California Clean Money Action Fund. Susan, welcome back to our program today.
Hi, Peter. So lovely to be back.
We've talked frequently in the past about the corrosive influence of money in politics and about your organization's efforts to clean up the mess here in California. And there's been a bit of an end run coming out of the legislature just completing its session in Sacramento. And your alert tells us that the Senate passed this bill out, and it's on its way to the governor. Tell us about AB 1430 and why you think it should be vetoed.
Well, AB 1430 is a really fascinating story. The Republican Party came up with this idea of preventing cities and counties from enacting laws that would restrict the funneling of large contributions through political parties to benefit local candidates. San Diego has some very tough campaign finance restrictions in terms of their municipal elections. And the Republican Party got frustrated by the fact that when they tried to get donations, which were much larger than what San Diego would allow to be given directly to the candidates, to be donated to the party, and the party would then funnel it through to the candidate, that the Ethics Commission in San Diego told them that they couldn't do this. So the Republican Party turned around and said, well, we'll trump them. We'll go to the legislature, and we will basically pass a statute which will preempt the local campaign finance law. So you have San Francisco, you have Los Angeles, you have San Diego at a minimum that have very good local campaign finance laws that require disclosures and put a lid on how much political parties can contribute and how much individuals can contribute to municipal candidates. So this is an attempt to basically go around the voters and the local governments and say that the state knows better and the sky's the limit. Because under California law, the contributor would be able to funnel $25,000 contributions through the parties to local candidates, which is a far cry from the sorts of $500 and $1,000 limits that you see at the municipal level.
And Susan, as that money gets laundered, will they actually starch it and then press it?
Oh, they do. They don't worry about that. They just funnel it through very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
There are other things in this bill which would prevent the municipalities from requiring the disclosure of this kind of pass-through money hidden by political parties, or in some instances an attempt to funnel money through unions and membership organizations. And so there are aspects of this bill which also interfere with the city's and county's ability to require timely disclosure. So if you can't cap it, at least the public would know where the money's coming from. This bill interferes with that as well. So the Republican Party came up with this clever idea, and they said to their friends, the Democratic Party, hey, you're probably going to want to get on board
this
as well. And next thing we knew, there was a bill that had zipped through the assembly.
By a vote of? Roughly.
Nobody voted against it.
Nobody.
Nobody. Where was our progressive caucus?
Wow.
I don't know. And by the time we realized what was happening, it had zipped through the assembly without any opposition whatsoever, and we started waving red flags all over the place. On the Senate side, it's opposed by the Ethics Commissions of L.A., San Diego, and San Francisco. It's opposed by the League of Women Voters, Common Cause, the California Clean Money Campaign. Amazingly enough, it is supported by, and this is a strange combination, both the Republican and the Democratic parties, the National Rifle Association, the National Right to Life, Planned Parenthood, and the League of Conservation Voters.
Oh, boy.
And some of the unions, which really does indicate who sees themselves as big money special interests. And that's really disheartening.
Well, I want my listeners to log on to your website at caclean.org, caclean.org. Right there is the governor's office phone number, a link to a site where you can log on and type in some information and fire off faxes to to the governor. He's the only one who counts anymore. And when do you think this will hit his desk, Susan?
Well, we think that it's going to hit his desk in the next couple of days. He's going to have 30 days to sign it. Or veto it, and we need him to veto it.
Mm-hmm.
He says he's a reform guy. He says he believes in local control. Now's the time for him to make good on that representation.
Yeah, and tell him to prove this post-partisan thing.
That's exactly right.
All right, Susan Lerner, thanks for your work. Great to talk to you today.
Thank you, Peter. Bye-bye.
And again, the website, caclean.org. Onus in Santa Cruz, you still there?
Thomas?
Oh, it's Thomas. I got Onus. Go ahead, Thomas.
Yeah, hi, Peter B. I haven't talked to you for a while.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to make you aware of something that's going on right now in Southern California. I got an email from a group, who are they called? I don't know, Health Freedom Alliance maybe, but anyway, it's about the Codex Law. Have you ever heard about that?
Nope, and you only got 20 seconds, so tell us.
20 seconds. There's somebody in Southern California with a 17-year-old son who was told he had skin cancer, and they wanted to operate, give him chemotherapy. She said no, treated him alternatively. He got cured alternatively. They have since arrested her, took custody of the boy, and are going to force him to have chemotherapy and an operation.
Ooh, all right. Can you send
me? I sent you an email on it, and
okay.
They are saying they desperately need support and help.
All right, I'm going to take a look at that, and if we can, we'll follow up. Thanks, Thomas.
What's your email, Peter, at Peter B?
Peter at PeterBCollins.com, right.
Peter
Thank
at
you.
Peter B. Okay, right. I think you got it. I hope so.
Okay, I'll look for it. Steve in Watsonville?
Yeah, and you can get his website just by Googling Peter B. Collins.
Anbar province is west of Baghdad, and I'm out of time. Have a great evening.
Thanks.
Happy trails to...
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. Right now in the Oval Office, President Bush is about to begin his latest address to the nation about Iraq. He'll seek to make the case that the surge of U.S. forces he ordered last January has paid off. So much so that he's bringing some of them home. He'll announce that 2,200 Marines will be withdrawn this month, and 3,500 Army soldiers will follow before Christmas. And he'll say that other forces won't be sent back to replace them. He's calling his strategy Return on Success. He'll say the more successful we are in Iraq, the more American troops can come home. But he promises to leave sufficient forces there to accomplish the U.S. mission, which he calls a moral imperative. I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. With more CBS News, here's Cammie McCormick.
And the Democrats' response, CBS News correspondent Bob Schieffer has a preview.
They are not going to like it at all. They are going to challenge the president on every point he is going to make tonight, even from his claim that this is all, that being able to draw down these troops is because of the success that they have had so far.
But is there much they can do politically?
The Democrats know that they do not, at this point, have the votes in the Senate to force the president to go faster.
The victim was known for years only as Precious Doe, a 3-year-old, murdered, her body dumped, and only identified after the arrest of her mother and stepfather. The mother, Michelle Johnson, pleaded guilty today in Kansas City to not helping her daughter as she lay dying, allegedly beaten by her stepfather.
In exchange to pleading guilty, she has to testify against her husband, who she says kicked her daughter in the head to death. She did not call the police, and that's why she is pleading guilty today to these four counts for a total of 25 years behind bars.
KCTV reporter Tom Waite, prosecutors say Harold Johnson was high on drugs when he killed the child because she wouldn't go to bed. It happened suddenly, forming and then smashing into the Gulf Coast. Hurricane Humberto made landfall this morning in Texas and then moving into southwest Louisiana. 85-mile-per-hour winds knocked out power to thousands. The storm surprised meteorologists with its 16-hour development into hurricane force. Forecasters say the good news is it didn't have time to develop into anything more than a minimal hurricane.